much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You're thinking that, you know, you're at the end of your tether now. But what if this is just the beginning of your story?
Then it's a slow start, isn't it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Take me down to the Paradise City.
I don't even know what that is.
Yo, this is Kevin Federline. What, do you got nothing better to do but to call this person? Maybe this person is busy. You trying to waste other people's time? Maybe they're a hard-working person. I don't know. But why are you calling? Don't make no sense to me. I think you should just holler at your damn self and go on about your day.
Douchebag.
Hang on tight, spider monkey.
What that even supposed to mean? I shouldn't have to hear that. I'm a child.
What do you think about that? That the Catholic Church would allow someone in, welcome someone in, who denies the Holocaust? Isn't that offensive to you?
What are you
going
to
do?
And now.
You with me?
I sure am.
You with me now?
I love it.
You know you love it.
I don't even know what that is.
Our feature presentation.
I miss K-Fed. I really miss him.
Really?
Where'd he go?
I don't miss him even a little bit.
No,
I think
he's
living off of Britney's child support.
Yeah. Just getting checks from Britney.
He did the celebrity fat thing, right? I'm fat, get me out of here. Whatever that was.
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here?
No, the fat thing.
Was he on one of those fat
Biggest Loser?
No, the one for celebrities.
That's a fat thing.
Well, yeah. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. That's the last thing that we saw him in, though.
All right. Well, I'm just saying I miss him. I miss him. I wish he was in the news more because I love just what a nothing he is. It's so fun. I love him for the same reason Bean hates him.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Just like Jersey Shore.
I'm happy to see him off my radar. That's for sure. Well, party people, welcome in. It's a new Kevin and Bean show. I think this time for a Tuesday. What's your relationship with pennies, you guys? Where are you on the penny scale, the penny debate, the penny continuum?
I didn't know there was a debate. I don't know that there's a side to come down on.
Lisa says she's not fur or again. How about you, Kevin?
I don't even understand the question.
Do you use them? Do you like them? Are
you
glad
them
they
away?
Exist? Do you throw them away?
I don't like them a lot because they're heavy and they're not worth much.
Right.
They don't buy much.
That's a good point.
But I don't really have like an ongoing conversation or a battle or any kind of a thing going with them.
Well, you know, of course, I love the Mint much as I love the post office. But and there's been a movement afoot from some people in recent years, including a representative from Arizona who actually last year passed a bill to ban pennies that never went anywhere in Congress, or he proposed a bill, I should say. But it's back in the news because of a Bay Area bike shop, a lot of locations in the San Francisco area named Mike's Bikes, and they have they're one of the businesses that now has banned pennies. You're not allowed to use them in their store anymore. If you go in there and your bill is, 78.22, then they want 78.20. They round down for the customer's benefit, which is nice because I think a lot of people, their opposition to banning pennies is they think that everything's going to go up to the five. You know,
right.
if it's 1, 2, 3, or 4, they're going to round up to 5. So this company, at least Mike's Bikes, is saying we're going to round down. They say that, A, it doesn't make any sense to make pennies because it costs 1.8 cents to make a 1 cent penny.
All right.
So there's your government at work, by the way. Any other business would go, is it costing almost twice as much to make this thing as it's worth? Let's not make it anymore.
That's weird.
They also say that it's mostly zinc, and those are toxic fumes in the companies that make zinc. Bad for the environment, so they say that's the reason. But here's the reason I bring the whole story up, because this was a fascinating statistic to me. And you know the thing about statistics, and Kevin, you've often said this, is you can make them say whatever you want. If it involves numbers, you can make it say anything you want. Who's going to challenge it?
It doesn't
right?
matter what side of the argument you're on. Whatever side of the argument you're on, you can use numbers to help you.
Yeah.
According to Mike's Bikes, in the sign that they've posted in their stores where they no longer accept pennies, they say the average American wastes 2.4 hours a year handling pennies or waiting for people to handle them.
How do they know that?
Where did they get
Come on. I mean, how do they know that?
I don't know. There must have been, I mean, unless they made it up out of whole cloth, there must have been some sort of a retail survey where they looked at how long it takes to check out. But 2.4 hours a year? I mean, is this if you're standing behind somebody in the supermarket and their bill ends in pennies and they start digging around in their purse for a penny? I mean, I guess that's the kind of time that they're talking about. Right?
Here's what I'm going to say. There's no possible way anyone ever measured that. That 2.4 hours is just an absurd guess.
That but seems if, like a lot, doesn't
if they
it?
Did measure, this is, I'm not even, I mean, you may be right, Kevin, but I'm with Lisa. If they did measure it, is it possible that we're wasting over 2 hours a year because of handling pennies? I don't think so.
I don't either.
I mean, how many seconds in your in last week can you imagine that you wasted on pennies?
Yeah, it would be like 5 or 10 seconds every other week or something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's no way it adds up to 2.5 hours. Come on, right?
I don't know. I can't get my head around this conversation. I really can't.
Well, I'm not the guy who sees something in the paper and goes, I accept that at face value. That you start thinking about stuff.
I sure wish you were.
You start thinking about stuff. Then you start asking questions. And then once you ask questions, then you get involved in conversations like this. So
don't ask questions. That's what I take away from this. Because that way then you don't get wrapped up in conversations like this.
So don't read this article in the first place.
Right.
If you do, certainly don't think about the implications
Correct.
Of what it's suggesting. I see. Okay.
And then don't follow up with questions for other people. And then ask them where they come down on the great penny debate.
I'm deeply troubled by this whole thing. That's all. And I don't have any great affection for pennies. I think I would be fine with pennies going away. I do think it's possible
that's good
they've
news.
Outlive their usefulness.
We can everyone know now that Bean's okay with it.
There was a time when you used to be able to buy things with pennies, but I don't think there's much that you can buy cheaply anymore, right?
Well, really, and if it does cost more to make them, and if it is environmentally bad, then yeah, I'm actually, now
maybe
I think I've been swayed.
Time.
Actually, wow, Mike's bike has swung me that way. Thanks, Mike.
I've been trying to swing you some way for a long time. I've never had any luck, but Mike's bikes does it in a minute.
Boom.
Wow.
So,
all right. All
so
right.
Got that out of the
settled.
System.
So we're going to talk about that all day.
I hope so.
Pennies for or against. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You are worth nothing. You're ugly. Everything that has ever gone wrong in your life is your fault because God hates you.
That's possible. That's very possible. We have Brittany Hamilton on the program today.
Ah.
And her sister, Bethany.
And Bethany, right. I can't read it. It's kind of faded. We have Mike Shinoda from Lincoln
You're
Park.
You're kind of faded, by the way.
How dare you? You just put me to sleep with your penny.
Yeah, that's
your great
the problem.
Penny
debate. He's got to wake up all over again.
Right. We're going to talk about the NFL, which finally is back, and the lockout is over, and everything
Yay.
Is full speed ahead. Finally.
If you don't like basketball, this is great news for sports
fans. Oh, man, basketball is going to hurt. We also have, you were a, it's Hollywood's a weird place where you have body doubles or butt doubles mm-hmm. or naked body doubles or something like that, where if a star doesn't want to take off her clothes, they bring in a double, and you think it's the star, but it isn't.
That is so awesome. You can have the best behind in the world.
Right. I mean, wouldn't you do that all the time?
Of course.
Just find the person with the best body and then go, yeah, put that
That's
in.
It.
Put that in for me. I'm in.
Jeez.
I send in a body double for sex, so I don't even
that's
do it anymore. I just send in
thing.
Somebody who's way hotter than me, and they have the sex.
That's not the same thing.
Not really.
Kerry Hart on the program today talking X Games.
Okay.
He's back to competing. Which is a little scary.
After retiring?
Yeah. He's the Brett Favre of the X Games.
He is. I'm going to retire. I'm not going to retire. But he actually did retire for quite some time.
Right.
And now he said, you know what? I'm back in.
I know I'm 71, but damn it, put me back on a bike.
So we're going to talk to him today as well. And we have your tickets for LA Rising coming up on the on the show. Coming up probably within about a half hour.
Okay.
So keep listening for your chance for that. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. Now,
thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, people are still talking about Amy Winehouse and the fact that she was found Saturday dead in her London apartment. Everyone's been waiting to find out the cause of death. As of yet, we still don't know. The autopsy on Amy Winehouse came back yesterday, and they did not come up with a cause of death. Inconclusive was the results. Well, at 27, it was probably just natural causes, right?
Yeah, it happens
I think
lot.
So. Yeah. A lot of people just get old and wear out at that age.
So now we got to wait for the toxicology reports, which could take weeks or even months. The case has been adjourned until October 26th. That's when they're looking to have a result, but we may have one, of course, before that. We just have to wait and see. Here's the thing. TMZ.com says on Friday night, a doctor gave Amy a routine checkup, and he said she was okay.
Hmm.
Well,
is it Dr. Conrad Murray?
Yeah. And okay for her?
Look, you can be okay and then take a huge amount of drugs and then not be okay.
Yep.
Very quickly after that fact.
That is true.
She reportedly played drums so loud that night that her neighbors complained.
Sweet.
Saturday morning at 10 a.m., she told her staff she was going to sleep. At 4 p.m., they found her body. Rigor mortis had already set in, so she had been dead for a number of hours before they found her. No drugs were found in the house, oddly enough. I guess Amy had a really good friend who promised her that she would clean out her apartment after she died before her folks showed up.
Or she took them all.
Or she took them all, right.
The private funeral for just friends and family will be held today in London. Say goodbye to Amy Winehouse.
They're doing like they do every time, and it really bugs me.
What bugs you, Ken, besides waiting for pennies?
That doesn't bug me. I don't really care about
pennies. Wasting all those hours a year.
All those hours you're waiting for pennies.
They always try to make, and I understand why, they try to make the dead person the best person that they can, you know, with things they say. And they just kept saying she was so loving and she loved her family so much and she was a family girl and she really loved her family.
And you think her family's over there going, really?
Yeah, and I just kept thinking, look what she put her family through. There's no way.
But she didn't do it consciously, Kevin.
But she also didn't love them consciously, Ralph.
Well, she did love them. I mean, by all accounts, she was very close to her father.
You heard what Psycho Mike was telling us yesterday from Loveline. You can't apply logic to the situation involving an addict. They don't think, they can't see what we can so clearly see on the outside of the addiction.
They're not aware of what they're doing to their family and friends around them when they're under the grip of that disease. They're just not.
Hmm.
They're not making the choice to screw their family over.
Hmm.
Just everything else falls by the wayside because they have one all-consuming need, which is to get high.
Come on, Kevin. Did you learn nothing in rehab?
Look, it was
no.
It was the same with Kurt Cobain when they were saying, "Oh, he was such a good father." And they go, "Hey, kid doesn't have a dad. Not a good father. May have been a great musician and everything else, but not a good father." That bugs me. That's all.
I think in that particular case, you could say yes. You can't be a good parent and still be a drug addict.
And gone.
That's probably true. But it doesn't mean he didn't love his kid. He was just out of control. He was not in control of that situation. That's the true tragedy of addiction. So, I guess the media will be camped outside the funeral today, sadly, for the friends and family. But by all accounts, they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So I guess they were prepared for this day. Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler, of course, they're engaged. Oh, wait a minute. No, not anymore. The wedding's been called off.
What?
Yeah, People Magazine says they called up their wedding just 1 week after their engagement party.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. They just rake in the gifts and say, all right, we out.
Word is, Kristen had everything in motion from the date and the location, the big day. It was all set. She was making all the plans and is absolutely devastated.
Oh, so he's the one that pulled the ripcord?
Yeah.
I love that she already did the People Magazine come with me to help me find my wedding dress pictorial.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's rough.
It's just like Jay Cutler to choke in the final hours of the game. Before he pulls the trigger through another interception. And you may remember how upset Jesse James and Kat Von D was with everyone when they were saying, oh, they're splitting up and it's not working out. No, we're still in love. We're going to get old together.
Right.
Yeah, they split up.
Did they? God. Yeah. Okay, are you sure this time?
We were right and you were wrong, Jesse James and Kat Von D. Jesse explained the distance between us was just too much. He lives in Austin, Texas. She lives here in Los Angeles. And Kat tweeted, I am no longer with Jesse, but declined to say more. They were supposed to get married this summer, but I'm guessing now they'll be double dating with Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler.
It was difficult because he had no interest in leaving Austin, and she had no interest in leaving here. I don't know how you reconcile that.
Heard you guys talking earlier about body doubles.
Yes.
Mila Kunis, most recently. I guess the big story is that she used an ass double in Friends with Benefits. Everybody's talking about that. Well, they may be a thing of the past. You may not even need a body double anymore.
Why?
From this story from Ryan Gosling. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for Crazy Stupid Love.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
There's a scene with Emma Stone where he takes his shirt off and she looks at his six-packed body and says, oh my God, you look airbrushed. You're in amazing shape. Yeah, those aren't Ryan's six-pack.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They CGI'd it?
Ryan says they had to stick a half a dozen ping pong balls on his stomach while filming, and then computer animation came over and took over the rest of it and used the same technology they do in Avatar to create him a perfectly sculpted body.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. My God.
Because I was shocked by that. I was like, wow, he does look good.
No, he does, but it has nothing to do with him. They just
how about that?
Punched in a couple codes, and next thing you know, he's got a six-pack.
Can they follow us all around and do that full-time?
Let me think. No, because okay. This is life, and that would be a movie. I think that would be the biggest difference.
So if you're in a film where the budget is big enough, they can just trim you.
They can make you look like anything they want to make you look.
This is just going to make us feel crappier and crappier about ourselves, because everyone you see on camera now is going to be so amazing.
Perfect. Wrong, Lisa. It'll make you feel better and better about yourself, because when someone looks amazing on screen, you can say, well, yeah, the computer animation team made them look that way.
They don't
look like that. It was worse in the old days when they really did look that great. And you say, oh, I'm never going to look like that. Now you could look like that easily.
All right. Okay.
We win.
I'll try to look at it that way.
We win. Speaking of technology, if you've seen Captain America over the weekend, the technology they used to make Chris Evans look tiny and scrawny is remarkable.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was curious about that, because he is very, very, very different.
I have not seen the behind the scenes to know so much, but I'm assuming it's the same technology. They must have had him in some sort of body stocking or something, green body stocking, and then they did CGI'd on top of it. But it is flawless. You would never know that's not a real person with that tiny, scrawny little body.
He's like a third of what he ends up being.
Yeah, and height, and height too.
And height too, yeah.
And then when he comes Captain America, he blows up to his real self. Now that's depressing, because Chris Evans actually does look like that in real life.
Let me ask you this about the movie magic.
With
what you're talking about with the CGI. A movie like Benjamin Button, where Brad Pitt got so much acclaim for playing the old man, remember,
yes,
who aged backwards. Now, could they have shot that movie with him just being Brad Pitt and then just added the oldness on the computer in the studio?
I believe they did a lot of that. There was some practical makeup, but they did a lot of CGI with him as well. Yes,
because it does seem like a lot of actors get a lot of acclaims for playing those kinds of movies where they have to age 60 years, and I wonder if some of that is some of that will not be earned anymore if they're doing more and more of the physical part on a computer.
Well, you still have to give the performance no matter what they do to your face and your body, you know.
Yeah.
But, I know they did do some CGI with him, although they did a lot of practical makeups as well. So, before I get to birthdays, how would you like to attend the world premiere of The Change-Up? It happens on August 1st. It's a Monday. The movie's in theaters everywhere August the 5th. But this is the red carpet world premiere. You get to see with all the big stars. You get to see with Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman. If you'd like to attend, first two callers right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah.
There we go.
No one help. Good.
That's the number to call. First two callers to get through will win a pair of passes to the red carpet of The Change-Up. Today's celebrity birthdays: Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones is 68 years old today. Actress Helen Mirren turns 66. Would you ever think that Mick Jagger's older than Helen Mirren? For some reason, Mick Jagger just has that eternal youth quality to him because he's in rock and roll, and then Helen Mirren seems to be older. But not the case. Roger Taylor of Queen, he's 62 years old today. Kevin Spacey turns 52. Sandra Bullock is 47 years old. Jeremy Piven from Entourage, he is 46 years old. Actress Kate Beckinsale is 38 years old today.
Your new friend.
Whew, she does not look 38. Mm. I saw her in the panel for Total Recall, a movie she's making with Colin Farrell. She looked amazing at Comic-Con. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All about the X Games this week. Of course, they start on Thursday, and every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll be talking to another X Games athlete next hour, Carrie Hart, in the Moto Speed and Style competition this year. So we got that on the way. Also, Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda coming up on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
First time for the AFRO line, 323-520-AFRO. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day. Any topic is perfectly fine. Things we talk about, things we don't talk about. We haven't mentioned much. Bean's favorite baseball team.
I don't know that we need to.
But the Seattle Mariners are on a race. They're on a race to try and be the worst team ever.
Oh, good for them.
And that's, I believe, what the first call is in reference to.
I just heard the Mariners lost their last 15 games. How does it feel, Bean?
You know, It's 16 now, unfortunately. They lost the game to the – they only gave up – but they only, look, in the Mariners' defense, they only gave up 10 runs to the Yankees last night. Look, here's the thing. When you – if you're a fan of a sports team and they lose five – like, imagine you're the Lakers fan, Kevin. They lose four or five games in a row. That really hurts. Like, you're in a funk at that point, right?
Yeah, of course.
Then they lose 10, and you're devastated. You, like, can't even imagine that this is real. Like, how is this possible, right? But once they start to get, like, to 15 or 20 games, then it's just hilarious.
What's the record?
Apparently, the record is 21 for American League, 24 for National League. And that record goes back to 1899, by the way, the National League record.
And which are you, National?
We're American.
So 21 is your record?
Yeah, 21 is our
record.
You're
so close.
I know. It could happen by this time next week. I know. I'm actually now sort of rooting for them to continue losing, because if you're going to lose, lose big, right?
I mean, here's the difference. If you're a Laker fan or any other successful team, then it is a killer. But if you're a Mariners fan, I mean, this happens every year.
No, I mean, this is you can say that, but this is their team record. They've never lost this many games in a row. So, I mean, they are in uncharted territories, even for a bad team.
16 losses in a row.
Yeah, accidentally you would win one. Accidentally, the other team would put out a pitcher who just had a bad night, right? But no, that hasn't happened yet.
All I want to know is, where's my man Doto? Come on, Doto. Where are you at today?
Radio silence from the toe. I don't know what's going on with him. I guess I'll drop another email and see where in the world he is. But, yeah, we haven't heard from him in a while.
We call him the International Man of Mystery because, literally, here's a guy who wants to make it in showbiz, and we can't track him down.
Yeah.
No. And we try. We email. We use Twitter. We use smoke signals. We use everything possible. And we'll get something from him. Pete will say, we want to have you on the show tomorrow. And he'll just write back, in Nam, Kevin and Bean. And everything. Well, they have phones, right? Can't we talk to you on the phone? But no,
he
never.
When he turns it off, man, he drops out. I think he's got another family living in a jungle somewhere, and he's just gone. So we'll try again, see if we can get him on. I'd love to know what he's been doing.
So what's the difference between Amy Winehouse and a moped?
What's the difference between...
Oh, really? We're going to play this.
I'm just saying, they call. This isn't our joke. It's his joke.
God.
That's all I'm saying, you know.
So what's the difference between Amy Winehouse and a moped? A moped can get you 30.
Oh, God.
Wow.
It's harsh.
Was that the only? Was that the only one? The only White House?
I'm sure it
wasn't. Or do you have more?
No, that's it.
That's all we have.
That's all I have for now.
I bet we got more.
That's all we
Lisa,
have.
Lisa, what was Amy Winehouse's biggest hit? Her last.
Oh.
See?
Yeah.
Because hit could be used. Do you understand?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Oh my God, Kevin and Bean, Red Hot Chili Peppers are coming to the Pia. I have to hear them on the radio every 15 minutes. Please, 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 please play Red Hot Chili Peppers. Please, I just don't hear them enough on your radio station at all.
I guess we could step it up.
Yeah.
We'll do that for you, absolutely.
But only for her. I mean, normally they're about once a day, but I guess we could step it up for her. Bean wanted to do a tapeworm diet at one point. It was said that he was going to go down to Mexico to buy a tapeworm, and then he would ingest it, and then it would eat all his food, and everything would be great.
Mexican-Americans like to sell tapeworms because everyone in Mexico sells them.
Okay.
That's right. Well, he's right. I mean, how are you going to argue that?
Yeah, Lisa May, your commercials are whack. Oh, one day, I'm walking down the street, and I see someone using a phone. And I go and say, hey, are you using AT&T wireless? Because that's what I have. My nationwide broadband is the best with my internet access and Wi-Fi. And oh, God, Lisa May, you stop it!
But it's all true.
Nope. It isn't all
true. I do walk down the street.
I'm here to tell you.
I do see people with phones. Uh-huh. And then I do say,
do
is that an AT&T
them.
Phone?
You never approach
I
them.
I have an AT&T phone, too.
That doesn't happen ever.
I have a story
That's
like
not
that
happened.
In 15 minutes.
You may.
Just like that.
Right. You may have a story like that. It never happens.
Absolutely
And by
true.
The way, every time you do those stories, I'm thinking the same thing. BS. She is not walking
you.
Up to somebody, for God's sakes, and doing that. Not everyone wants Bean dead.
Oh.
right?
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Some people have a death pool for all of us.
Okay, to that Afro caller who says that nobody cares if Bean dies, I do care. I have a death pool going, and this is how it breaks down. Mm-hmm. I have Birma dying first of a stroke, then Omar of an overdose, Dave next from diabetes, Kevin dying from alcohol poisoning, then Lisa May from gonorrhea, Ralph from autoerotic asphyxiation, and Bean, oh gosh, what's that guy called again? Mr. Hands? Oh yeah. Bean dying from a perforated colon.
I sure hope you know that story.
Well, I hope you don't.
All right, the last two refer to something that we're going to play for you in just a minute. Beer Mug was on the red carpet for Captain America, and he was talking to a World War II vet, and that didn't go as well as perhaps we had hoped.
What the f*** happened to the show being funny? World War II, Prisoners of War, Amy Winehouse dead? Really? F you guys.
Hey, by the way, like, it's our fault Amy Winehouse is
dead. We didn't kill her.
And finally,
what was it like being in prison during World War II? Beerbug, you're a f***.
Here's what he said to the great World War II veteran on the red carpet the other night.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get three rice balls a day, and that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, great story, old man. Move along.
I get three rice balls a day and subject to daily beatings. That's amazing.
323-520-AFRO is the Kevin Bean Afro line. Now let me give you another phone number if you want to join us for L.A. Rising this Saturday at the Coliseum. Talking about Rage Against the Machine, Muse, and Rise Against. This time around, we're looking for Rage fans. If you're one of Kevin's people, you love Rage, you can't wait to get out there. We're going to give you the opportunity to be Zach. How about that? It's the Zach Attack, Kevin, don't you know?
Oh, this is going to be so good.
So, you know, he has a unique, inimitable style, but we're looking for Kevin and Bean listeners who want to do their own versions of Rage Against the Machine songs on the phone for us, and I can't wait to hear what you've got. You sing along as loud as you can with Killing the Name when it comes on your radio.
Yeah.
We want to hear you do it right now.
That's the problem, is that if Zach's voice is not doing it, then all of a sudden it falls right to hell.
Yeah,
so
it does.
So 1-800-520-1067, the way to win the tickets is you have to sing a Rage Against the Machine song, or rap, or whatever it is, sing rap, whatever he does. You have to do one of their songs for us, and then if there's more than one great one, we'll put them in a drawing, and we'll pick a winner, and somebody will get to go to the show. It's on Saturday night. Call now, and we'll do that now.
L.A. Rising's happening this weekend. You know, Muse is the big band opening or playing right before Rage Against the Machine, and we're going to not only give you tickets for that show right now, but you will also be eligible to see Muse again the following weekend in Chicago for Lollapalooza. So that's a pretty good deal right there.
By the way,
that's
Lollapalooza is Muse, which is enough.
Right.
There's also Foo Fighters, mm-hmm. and there's also Eminem. I mean, that's a crazy weekend.
Crazy. Insane. Right. So a lot of great music happening this summer. We're going to hook you up right now. We're looking for Rage Against the Machine fans who want to sing for us. 1-800-520-1067. Let's play the Zach Attack.
Singing is a game of
Zach Attack.
Sing like Zach De La Roca.
Zach Attack.
You might go to L.A. Rising.
Zach Attack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Omar could win if he called it right now. That was, you know what? We mock Omar a lot. That's pretty good.
I know.
Yesterday in the meeting when we came, Alex came up with the title. She's like, Zach Attack, we have to call it that. And I looked over to Omar and he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. He had to come up with an intro. That wasn't bad.
That was really good. All right, let's see how it goes. We'll try Roberto first. He's on line one here on the Kevin Beach Show. Roberto, it says here you told lesbian phone screener Chip that you are actually a singer. You are a musician by trade?
Yes.
All right, well, you got a real advantage here over the rest of the yahoos, but let's see what you got. What song are you going to be doing for us?
Killing in the Name of.
All right.
All right, good luck, sir.
All right. Killing in the Name of. Killing in the Name of.
We have to imagine Tom's guitar.
I guess.
Keeping good time.
You're not done, are you? Wait, was that it?
Some of those that wear forces are the same that burn crosses.
Okay, you're terrible. Thank you, Roberto. We appreciate that. You're not going to win. I guess technically hold on, don't worry if you fall off.
You don't know how these next people are going to be.
That's true.
But he was singing like this, too, by the way. He was terrible. Well, he was terrible. He was whispering.
Yeah, well.
Let's see what Jason's got for us. Jason's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jason. Welcome, man.
Kevin and Bean, what's up? What's up, Lisa May?
Hey, Jason.
I'm right. Roberto was terrible, right?
He was pretty bad, honestly. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. There was a little too much dead space in his singing.
Well, the problem is he sang the beginning where a lot of it is the guitar riff.
Yeah, it's all music. You can't do that. Not with Zach. You got to impersonate properly, man.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
That's
all right,
what Jason's about to do.
Now that you've talked smack, let's see what you're bringing.
All right. I'll see if I can bring it for you guys. Zach
Attack! What song are you doing for us?
I will be doing Bulls on Parade, but I will censor it because I know there is one little curse word. I will go over that
all right
for you
guys. Love it. Love it. Thank you.
All right. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right. The microphone explodes, shattering the modes. Keep it dropping, hit for Bella Orange. Hit the officer from all with the short shot. Sure to make the body dropping. No coppers, no tellers, a cobra. Kill rays, quenching the thirst of the power dawn. Their fire side of fisticon. Their rotten soul on the face of Mother Earth gets bigger. The trigger's crossed from the ear purse. Right around the family.
Nice. Okay. All right. Yeah. Very, very well done. I mean, you sound like a white guy trying to rap, but you know what? Pretty good, Jason. You hang on. You're definitely in the running. Okay.
I'd like to hear that.
What was the first guy's name?
Roberto.
Roberto. Yeah. I was going to tell him to hang up, but as soon as he heard Jason, he hung
he
up
did.
Himself.
He hung up anyway. Right. All right. Let's try Jose, line 5. Hi, Jose. What rage song are you going to be doing for us? It's the Zach Attack. Zach Attack.
Wake up.
All right.
Oh, good one. Let's hear it.
All right. Although you try to discredit, you still never read it. The needle out-threaded, radically poetic, standing in the fury that they had in 66. And like he double a mad, still knee deep in the systems. Hoover, he was a body remover. I'll give you a dose, but it can never come close to the rage built up inside of me. Fist in the air in the land of hypocrisy.
Wow. Come on, people. Yeah.
Look at that, Jose. Well done. Wow, very good.
I got to say.
Very good. I know, right?
Let's try. You want to try one more?
Let's try Todd real quick, only because he's doing Guerrilla Radio, and how can we not want to hear that? Hey, Todd, you got a lot of competition this morning, dude.
I know.
Not Roberto, but everyone else.
All right, Todd, Guerrilla Radio, can't wait. You got to really bring it here. Good luck to you.
It has to start somewhere.
Okay, thanks a lot, Todd. We're glad you called. We're glad you played. Thank you very much. All right, you want to do you guys got a favor, or you want to do a drawing? Because I'd have trouble choosing because they were both good, but both different.
They were both good. I do have a favorite, but barely, so we might as well do a draw. I mean, I think Jose, the second guy, was better, but not by much.
Yeah, Jason or Jose. Lisa May, seriously, you're going to break somebody's heart here, but we can only have one winner for LA Rising, and you're eligible to see Muse again at Lollapalooza. Who's our winner?
Jason,
the first guy. Jason!
All right, baby, I love it. Thank you very much.
Nicely done. We'll see you on Saturday night and maybe the following weekend at Lollapalooza.
Oh, I can't wait, man.
Way to go. Thank you for playing.
So good news came down yesterday. The NFL lockout is over. We'll talk to our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, the Soul Surfer herself, Bethany Hamilton, joins us. It's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, I don't like Bob Dylan. And I know.
What?
I know. I know. I hear you. It's hard not to give him his place in history. He was super important. I get it. He influenced a generation, just not me. When I hear him sing, I just think, how does anyone listen to that voice? Maybe he writes good songs. I don't know. I can't get past the voice. But the story that we just found out that's fascinating is that his grandson, and imagine being a family member of somebody who's that big of a music star.
By the way, this young man you're about to talk about, his father is Jacob Dylan, who is, of course, the singer of the Wallflowers, lead singer of the Wallflowers. He's got a very successful music career as well. So this kid comes from a long line of musical talent.
That's true. Can you imagine the pressure that gets put on him?
I would go be a banker.
At Thanksgiving
right,
or whatever?
Exactly.
Hey, dude, when are you going to get into music? So apparently he has gotten into music, but he's into rap.
Oh, all right. So he's not broken away.
Not exactly the folk music of Bob Dylan.
Right.
Right.
So we decided maybe we should check up further on the story a little bit and talk to Bob Dylan's grandson.
Pablo?
Hello, Pablo.
Yeah.
How are you, Pablo?
I'm good.
I'm not getting that.
You don't get all the sense of my diggy.
Okay, what we heard that you existed, Pablo, and that you were that you were 15 years old, and you were into hip hop. I was expecting, you know, like a regular, normal, kid on the street. I didn't think you were going to sound so much like your grandfather.
Yeah, grandpa, dog, and then I'll have in the hall.
I understood. That's it. That's all I understood. So you have to talk like that. Did he train you, or just you're around it so much? I mean,
talk like what? Then just come some dinner.
We can't understand anything you're saying though.
Give it out. I'm getting them there. Going to dinner again. Get a little dinner.
Now, Pablo, in this interview, and by the way, PabloDylanMusic.com, I guess, is the website.
Yeah.
You can just do a
and
search.
And my dad's not Jacob.
He's
your
not?
Dad is not
no,
Jacob?
No,
oh,
Jesse,
I thought he was. Oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong then.
How come we can hear that very clearly?
Because I just want to set the record straight.
Well, can you talk like that the rest of the time?
You know why? Because I read the article before the bit.
I actually didn't read the article, so I don't know. I didn't. I'm sorry about that.
No, don't go back to that.
Okay. You understand, Pablo, that just like your grandfather, no one can understand anything you say, so how do you plan to sell any records?
Because I'm running with all guns of me.
Not even a word.
You lost me there.
Not one word.
You said that your grandfather, Bob Dylan, is the Jay-Z of his time.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Because I don't sound like this.
Very famous 99 problems. Very, very well done. Do you sing the lyrics or do you just mumble them like your grandfather?
No, I'm singing them. Yeah,
I heard.
That's a lot of going on there. So, Pablo, are you making? Are you getting any fans? Are you having any success with your new rap
career? Yeah, I heard bitches.
That's all
bitches
I heard too.
The part I got there. Right?
Pablo, maybe you don't understand because your grandfather is this way, but most people need to be able to understand what you're saying when you sing and or rap.
You can't understand. You don't understand. It's not as y'all just singing your own.
All right, well, we're going to give you the last word then. I guess we'll just accept
that.
That was I'm Slim Shady? What?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it saves you on time memorizing lyrics.
Because I'm the real Dylan. And I be chilling. You be illing. Your mama be killing. Yeah.
I heard that,
yeah.
I understood that.
Yeah.
X Games athletes all this week. On the Kevin and Bean Show, Carrie Hart joins us after the top of the hour. Then we're going to be looking for you if you've been in a Hollywood TV or movie as a body part double. I think we're particularly interested in boobs and asses, aren't we?
Well, I mean, we're guys.
So, yeah.
So, that's a given.
No, I want ears. But I want who's an ear double.
I would like to find the smallest part. I would like to find the toe or the ear or the, you know, the eye. There's got to be somebody that filled in for somebody and they can't believe.
The toe.
Whatever. The smallest, most irrelevant part is
the
what I'm
toe.
Saying.
Now, what about.
We might have a toe.
We won't have a toe.
We might. You don't know.
we're going to be taking calls. Are we looking for full body doubles too? Like if somebody was, you know, Beyonce's sure. body double in a music video, that's cool too, right?
Yeah. Well, of course. Any
okay.
any body double work that you did, we need to talk to you. At 1-800-520-1067. You're not giving anything away, are you, Ralph?
No, sir. No.
Okay, good. So call just after the top of the hour.
Okay, and Carrie Hart as well. So right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin Amici Show. What's going on?
Jennifer Lopez looks like she will be back at the judges table next season on American Idol. Ever since the end of the first season that she did, she's been saying she wasn't sure whether she was going to return or not, which was a way of saying, depends on how much money they give me.
I need more money.
Wall Street Journal reports that she's very close to signing a deal. It'll happen any day now, at least for one more season anyway. Her original deal was for $12 million just for that one season.
And it boosted everything. Didn't it boost her record sales?
Absolutely. Brought her career back in a big, big way. Yeah. So I can't imagine why she wouldn't want to do it. And I can't imagine what they're going to pay her for the second season, given the success of the first.
They make so much dough on that show.
$15
million? Yeah, probably.
17? What could she get? 20? Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah. I heard speculation that she intentionally did not sign the second deal until after she had filed for separation from her husband, too, so that could not be considered as community property.
Ah, interesting.
Clever J-Lo. Odette Annable, formerly Yustman.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's her married name. She goes by her married name now. Has been added to the cast of House.
Fantastic.
How about that? If Fox picks up the show Breaking In for a second season, she's going to do both. But if Breaking In doesn't come back, and I don't think it will, she's going to be on House as a regular.
How about that?
Pretty strong news.
Good call.
Very good, very talented actress and lovely to look at. She apparently will play a doctor who works at the prison that House is thrown into for driving his car into Cuddy's living room. If you remember the end of last season, that's how he ended things. She's a doctor at the prison, and he seems to think she would be a good fit for his team of diagnosticians, and so he adds her to the team, and she'll be a regular.
It's tough to stay in that team very long with him.
They do have a pretty good turnover.
It really is tough.
But I'll be happy to see her. Olivia Wilde, of course, is also on that show.
Yes, she is.
And she's also in Cowboys and Aliens. I had no idea that she was almost killed during the filming of Cowboys and Aliens.
Dude.
How?
They were shooting a scene that involved a stampede. She was on her horse. The horse bucked and threw her off.
Wow.
So she was thrown to the ground during a stampede.
Wow.
With other horses bearing down on her.
That seems bad.
It's very bad.
I sort of have a boner.
So Walter Goggins, one of the other actors in that, you may remember him from The Shield.
Yes.
He's in
yes.
The Shield. He's also on Justified right now. He is a pretty accomplished horseman. So what he did was he turned his horse sideways in front of her.
No
kidding. To protect her, and all the other horses went around, in essence, saving her life.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So what does she owe him now, Ralph?
Yeah. A little something, something?
Yeah. No body double there, you know what I'm saying?
No.
No.
This is what we're saying.
Yeah, that's what she owes him.
Yeah. All right.
And that would be a good call-in, too, I think. Near-death experiences?
Sure.
Like you almost bought the farm and then something miraculous happened that kept you out of the...
I have like 20 of those.
I know you do. We can't believe you're still alive, quite frankly. We thought you'd just plummet out of a window vomiting one night, and then it would be all over. You'd just go falling to your death.
There are some people that seems to happen to more than others. And
I think it's a reflection on the choices that they make throughout their lives.
That's correct.
And while we're talking about Cowboys and Aliens, Harrison Ford, who stars in that Western, has signed on to do yet another Western. It's all Westerns all the time now for Harrison.
Huh.
He's been cast as Wyatt Earp in the upcoming film Black Hats. It's the story of Wyatt Earp, Bat Masterson, and Doc Holliday's son, who get together to fight Al Capone in the 20s.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't picture the Western years overlapping with the gangster years, but I guess maybe they did some places.
Late 1800s into the early 1900s.
It overlapped with the Alien years.
Well, that's true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't remember that particular part of history where Wyatt Earp took on Al Capone, it's because it's been completely fabricated for the movie. They did live in the same era at the same time, but they never really crossed paths. But
yeah, that's interesting.
Makes for an interesting movie, I suppose.
Depending if we can understand what Harrison says.
Wyatt Earp moved
to
California.
He did?
Late in his life and became a consultant on Western movies and things like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. He went legit.
He did.
Huh.
He was too legit. What? I'm just saying. And Kid Rock wants better-looking strippers. Don't we all?
I'm with Kid Rock.
We're all with Kid.
He told Rolling Stone magazine before every concert, he asks the local promoter to comb the strip clubs to get ladies to dance on stage with him. That's a sweet gig, isn't it?
All right.
He said somebody needs to come up with a better system of finding girls to dance in strip clubs because lately the girls have been kind of shaky.
I sort of have a boner.
A little hard on the eyes, Kid says, regarding strip clubs.
Well, it's the ones that will also come out on stage with him. You know what
but
I mean?
You like think any stripper would want to.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess some towns
what cities, yeah.
Yeah, some towns you tour in probably get a lesser selection than others. Like Vegas or L.A. or Atlanta. I mean, there are certain towns you would
Houston.
Get stunners.
Yes.
So just tour those cities. That's
Vancouver.
What I would suggest, too. Yeah, the Couve.
The Couve.
I didn't know we called it the Couve. Oh, I love me the Couve. You know what else will surprise you? Cleveland.
Hot strippers?
Hot strippers in Cleveland.
Really?
Yes.
I find that hard to believe.
I went there a couple years ago for the Hall of Fame game, the first
or the
preseason game for the NFL.
Where they
do it out of Canton? Yeah, it was Philadelphia against the Raiders, I think it was. And but we stayed in Cleveland because we wanted to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
right.
and do some other stuff. So me and my buddy stayed there. So we hit some strip clubs up in Cleveland. Wow, I was blown away.
But what were you expecting? You were probably expecting pretty low.
I was, but
that might,
it way
so
surpassed
maybe they were just average.
Just that. I mean, I hadn't been stranded on a desert island or anything. I knew what attractive girls looked like.
No, I know.
I just came from Los Angeles, so I was, you know, I could certainly
all right,
compare
so
and contrast.
Cleveland's all right.
Yeah, and very friendly.
Oh.
you know what I mean.
What does that giant wink mean when you wink?
I didn't wink. I don't know what you're talking about in case my wife's listening.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. He's 68 years old today. Actress Helen Mirren turned 66. Roger Taylor of the legendary band Queen is 62. Kevin Spacey is 52. Sandra Bullock's 47 years old today. Jeremy Piven turns 46. Kate Beckinsale turns 38 years old. And actress and singer of the band The Pretty Reckless, Taylor Momsen, celebrates her 18th birthday today. She's finally 18.
She's legal.
Take off that electrical tape off your nipples, Taylor. Show them to the world, baby. Show them.
At 17, she was barely keeping her top off. So anything goes now.
Yeah, she's a wild child. I dig it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So how does it work for you, Kevin, every year when the X Games come to town? You tape every minute of X Games, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And try to see as many in person as you can.
Yes.
And then whatever you can't see in person, you watch on TV. So you, in effect, watch the entirety of the X Games.
I watch them live, and then I watch them on TV as well, the ones that I saw.
Wow.
It's a lot of time. It's really time consuming.
It does seem like quite a commitment, but it really is like no other sporting event in the world. And it gets bigger and it just gets better every year. And X Games 17 is going to be in Southern California this Thursday through Sunday at the LA Live, Nokia Theater, Staples Center, and of course through the streets of downtown LA. I understand we're supposed to have Carrie Hart here in a moment too.
We are in a minute. Yeah. This is one of those things that is so unbelievably great to be at. The live event, just to be there because you can walk from thing to thing and you can see Shaun White on the vert ramp and then you can see somebody doing a Moto X trick. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And tickets start at $5.
That's ridiculous.
That's still incredible, yeah.
It's crazy. So you should if you have the chance to see it, you should certainly see it. Like Bean said, it's going to be on ESPN. It's going to be on ESPN2.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to be on ESPN3. I don't even think there's an ESPN4, but they're probably going to make one for this. So you'll be able to see everything. And we have Carrie Hart on the phone right now.
Hey, I'm Carrie Hart.
I actually got my first bike when I was 4 years old, and it was pretty much all downhill from there.
I'm pretty low-key and laid-back and mellow. You know, when I'm not on my bike, I kind of let my riding speak for it. I love being around tattoo culture.
I mean, for me, I get nervous every time I throw my leg over a bike. I mean, that's part of the excitement, the adrenaline, and that's why I keep riding.
Multi-time freestyle champion, one of the innovators of the sport, Carrie Hart.
I'm a dirt bike rider. Whether I own a business or I'm 60 years old, I'm still basically a dirt bike rider. I've actually broke 56 bones, though. Back then, when I first did the first flip back in 2000, 2001, there was no foam pits.
Carrie Hart just free fell from 40 feet in the sky.
I went for it, and I actually broke my back when I did it the first time.
Yeah! Carrie Hart has just kicked a demon off his back. Carrie Hart has just done a backflip.
Motocross superstar, we welcome Carrie Hart.
Let's take a ride.
All right, Brett Favre, welcome back.
He's not Brett Favre.
What? Is that not who we're talking to?
No, we've got Carey Hart. Oh. But he is in fact back and participating in X Games 17 this Saturday night. What's going on, Carey? How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm back for more punishment.
Oh, we're so happy to have you back.
How you guys doing?
You're one of our favorites. We're great. Thank you.
Tell us about that decision. How does one decide, hey, I'm out, hey, I'm in, hey, I'm out, hey, I'm in?
You know what? Honestly, it's just I feel good these days. And, I mean, to be truthful, I'm not coming back trying to be Brett Favre and go chase X Games medals. I mean, I just want to come out. I love to ride still. I have a great time doing it. And mostly when they put this new dynamic called Speed and Style in,
right?
It's a lot more racing and a little less freestyle, so it's not so much pressure on freestyle.
Uh-huh.
And for me, you know what? I just want to go have a good time. I still love to race and ride supercross tracks, and so that's kind of where it just came from. And like I said, I'm not aspiring to go win medals. I just want to come back and have a good time.
I like that. I like a guy who shoots low.
Yeah, exactly. You have no failure at that point.
Right, you can't fail if you shoot low.
Yeah, exactly.
That piece of tape we were listening to in the intro when we brought you on, Carey, you talk about how you're just a dirt bike rider. Is that what you put on your IRS forms when you fill out your taxes every year?
Yeah, totally. Just a dirt bike rider, just like that.
Isn't that so funny? Because you've got all these businesses and all these other things that are going on, but that's still how. How about on your passport? Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, really, everything still says athlete.
Here's what I love about a guy like Carey Hart and most of these X Games athletes. He broke his back trying a backflip when there were no foam pits to practice on.
Yeah.
And then got back on his motorcycle. Now, for me, and I'm a pussy.
Right.
If I break my back trying a trick, I'm out. See you later.
You take the hit.
Good luck with the next guy that tries it. I'm not going to do it. Carey Hart, you broke 56 bones.
Oh, is that was it an old tape?
I know it's old.
I'm up to 66.
Up
now.
To 66. Oh, nice.
Nice.
You
got to update that tape.
Please don't break anymore.
Yeah, I'm trying.
If you don't mind.
You know, you say that as if it's something to be proud of. It says to us you're not very good at what you do.
No, we just take a beating. Like I just realized. I've been kind of fighting like this back pain I've been having lately. So I've been trying to be proactive about it. I've been going to the chiropractor and training like with this great trainer at the factory and all this stuff. And come to find out, somehow in the last couple of years, I broke my back again. And
wow.
I don't know how or where or when, but so now I'm figuring it all out.
I always wondered about that, and I don't consider you old by any means, but, you know, 20, 30 years from now, you're going to feel horrible. I mean, I really imagine like a lot of those breaks and stuff are going to start giving you a lot of pain.
Well, that's why me and my wife are going to start having a lot of kids. So like, we got someone to take care of me.
All right.
Right. You got a team around you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Carey, there's been a little bit of controversy, if I'm reading the articles correctly, about how you are preparing for the MotoX Speed and Style with your own track at home. Now, you have a track that is just like the one that you're going to be racing on Saturday night. Is that right?
No. Typical people. No, here's what's happening. Like,
good.
I own a Supercross team. So in Supercross, a lot of teams will build similar tracks to the first couple races of the year so you can kind of prepare-wise.
Right.
So I did the same thing along with four or five other riders out in Riverside, and it's a common thing to do. It's just...
I thought everyone does that now.
Exactly. I mean, it makes... Actually, if you think about it, it makes absolutely no sense. Like, so how do you practice then? How do you prepare?
Yeah, of course.
The articles are making it sound like you've got it inch by inch. It's an exact duplicate, giving you an advantage the other riders won't have.
No, not at all. I mean,
not the case.
No, it's just an interviewer who knows absolutely nothing about the sport and just once again trying to stir something. I'm probably trying to get people to go to his three person blog.
Oh, so he was trying to say, oh wow, he's built an exact replica, but he doesn't know like. The big air, you know, is Bob Bergquist's home. I mean, basically every single person at the X Games practices on stuff that is exactly like they're going to participate in. Yeah, that's what everyone does.
And every freestyle motocross rider at X Games has a 75-foot
right.
dirt landing. So what's the difference?
Yeah, I don't even understand that. Wow, that's weird.
That's two of us. I read that. I was like, really? Have you actually seen what Staples Center is going to look like? I hauled in a bunch of scaffolding and everything else to duplicate. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever.
This is why I'm glad we have you on, Carey, because we could ask directly. Now, you mentioned kids. How's the little one? How's little Willow?
She is awesome. Yeah, she's great. I mean, you know what? Honestly, it's probably not the best time to do a little bit of an X Games comeback, being that I sleep about 4 hours a night.
Yeah, well.
But other than that, she's great, man. She's big and healthy. And
how old is she?
She'll be 8 weeks Thursday.
Wow, 8 weeks.
Wow, yeah, that is...
She's holding her head already.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, does that change your approach to danger when you start realizing, hey, now I've got a kid?
You know what? It's not a kid. Definitely doesn't do that for me. I mean, I've started to change up my dynamics over the years. I mean, look, I know. I mean, not by any means am I old, but I know like the damage I've done to myself.
Of course, and, yeah.
Look, I'm just out to have a good time. You know, I just want to have fun with this whole thing. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to go out and chase X Games medals. I mean, it's awesome that they invited me back, and I want to come have fun and doing it.
It's a shame that guys like you didn't have the foam pit type technology like they do today. So you basically had to ruin your body to get to where you got. And now guys are doing double backflips, but they're doing it into a foam pit so they don't hurt themselves.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is it's just like one of those things. No one bats 1,000. And even the guys that have the opportunity to use the foam pits, it's never 100%.
No, but they're batting 700, and without a foam pit, you're at about 100.
Yeah, that's true. It's all the sports in general are just getting so intense, and so everyone's pushing the limits so hard that I could not imagine. I'm much happier being 36 now, going and having fun at X Games, as opposed to being a 21-year-old skateboarder,
yeah, well,
BMX or moto guy trying to make a name for himself.
That's what's fun about the X Games, is that whatever happened last year, and a lot of times it blows your mind, whatever happened last year is yesterday's news, and what people did last year to win medals will not get them a bronze medal this year. You have to step it up. Every single sport is stepping it up that much, and that seems impossible.
Yeah, every year there's milestones. I mean, just when you think, all right, enough is enough and there's nothing new to happen, somebody comes out and does something.
Yeah. Well, it was huge news when they announced that you were going to be performing on Saturday night. I know a lot of fans are excited about the opportunity to see you in person again, Gary, and we couldn't be more thrilled to have you on. So Saturday night, 7:15 at Staples Center, Moto X Speed and Style, and that's the only thing you're participating in officially this year, right?
Yeah. I mean, other than after my run, going up in the stands and drinking a couple of beers, that's my only discipline.
Sweet. I got to tell you, Gary, we've had in the studio, we've met him several times, and all X gamers are super cool, but Kerry is probably the coolest of all.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you guys always having me back on.
Always. And great luck on Saturday night.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I hope to see you guys there.
We'll be there.
You bet.
I'm pretty sure that's the only song we play where whistling is used. I'm not positive.
I think you're right.
I think right now it's the only whistling song that we have. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 25 minutes after 7 o'clock. All right, you ready?
I am.
wait, I'm trying. I don't want to ruin it for him. Hold on.
This is Kevin trying to whistle. You could not have been in Foster the People, Kevin.
No.
I'm sorry. There's no way.
And the problem is that we were trying to give away tickets to a concert, so I felt bad because the listener didn't have a chance. Because I couldn't. And then once I start laughing, it's impossible. So I felt terrible about
and
it.
And it's over. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. By the way, I want to thank Casey, who's the woman who has the unfortunate task of listening to every minute of our show because she has the finger on the button for Kevin's body mount.
Mm-hmm.
She reminded me, speaking of body doubles, as we were, that Megan Fox had a thumb double in the Motorola commercial that she did for the cell phone because
she's
got that kind of honky, you know, honked up a thumb. And they found somebody with a beautiful normal thumb to actually play Megan Fox's thumb. Just that part. Just that scene of her holding the phone in the commercial.
That's a fascinating a part of the industry. I wonder how they put out the word. You know what I mean? Like general call for people with good thumbs. That's why, you know, it's just
probably a hand model is who they use. You know, I was thinking of the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney and Vera Farmiga.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where in the hotel room and you see her butt and she's just got a bow around her waist. Not her butt.
That's not her?
No.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody else.
So this topic came up on the Kevin and Bean Show earlier this week because Ralph was talking about the Friends with Benefits movie with Mila Kunis. Apparently, you know, everybody who has been oohing and aahing over her great butt in that movie is seeing another woman's butt. And I guess Mila Kunis is a big enough star that she could say, no, I'm not going to take my pants off, but I'll help you select the woman who's going to play my butt in the movie. And that's exactly what they did. They had a casting call.
I would like to be in on that casting call.
I bet you would.
Because if it's for a nude butt, there's only one way to do it.
Right?
Come on now.
You got to see it, right?
Drop them. Next. Drop
them. We know that we have a lot of people in the entertainment industry who listen to us, and I guarantee you we've got people out there who have been body doubles, either full body doubles for, you know, it didn't even have to be somebody famous, I guess, really. I mean, sometimes you're a body double just because you can do something that the person in the commercial yeah. can't. You know, you're the one who can do the, you know, the cheerleading or the skydiving or whatever it is. So we want to hear from you if you've been a body double, but we're also really interested in people who have been body doubles for specific parts of bodies. If you've been the hand model or you've been the ass or you've been the boobs or whatever, we want to talk to you too.
The smaller, the better for me. That cracks
except,
me up.
Except when it comes to boobs.
Except, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the more, the less significant, the funnier.
Right, right.
Like so, your ear like, or something.
Yeah, oh, my ear.
Like,
right, yeah, it was actually my ear, not his.
Yeah.
You know, oh, wow, really?
Like the thumb model. If we could talk to the thumb model, how awesome would that be, by the way, who was in the Megan Fox commercial? So 1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number if you want to call. And I'm reminded, and I don't think, I don't know if you guys remember this story or not, but many years ago, there was a movie out that was very popular called Arachnophobia.
Right.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
Movie about people who are afraid of spiders, and I guess there was some giant spider invasion or something like that. And I was really into one scene in the movie where there was this hot chick who was in a shower, and all of a sudden the spiders started coming out of the shower head. You guys remember this?
Yes.
And I said, I said to our producer at the time, I said, oh my God, you've got to get that actress on because, you know, they show her in the shower and they show the spiders falling onto her chest and everything. You've got to get this actress on the show. I love her so much. I must meet this actress. I have to talk to this actress. So we get the actress on who plays the part in the movie, and we say, so tell us about the shower scene. What must that have been like for you? And she says, yeah, they weren't my boobs.
It was
a boob double. So in the movie, and they show her face, you know, they shot her from the neck up in the shower, but the actual scene of the spiders falling on her boobs, completely different actress.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for coming. We'll see you later.
An interview has never ended more quickly than that one did.
I don't know why this happened, but I knew a body double for a billboard for a movie. It was a billboard for, I believe it was Resident Evil. And she was a silhouette of her, mm-hmm. and she was that body double.
Oh, how about
and
that?
I don't know if it was because they couldn't get, who was it, Mila Jovovich?
Yeah.
If they couldn't, she was busy doing something else or whatever, but she was.
That's so weird.
She was the model on the billboard.
Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, right, that industry exists.
Right. All right, you hang on. Wes, you hang on. He's actually has been a hand double in a movie you've seen. So we'll talk to him coming up. Also, we got a hair body double on the line. And we want to hear from you, too. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. We're talking about that peculiar branch of actor or actress who is a body or a body part double in movies. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Listen to this from Paul. I have a buddy who was John Cusack's feet. There's a scene in the movie Pushing 10 where Billy Bob Thornton and John Cusack are in a car at a red light. John's in the driver's seat. Billy Bob decides to step on John's foot, pushing the gas pedal down. While my buddy was doing extra work on the film, someone came into the waiting room where the extras were and said, who wears a size 32 waist? The funny part is for that 1 second shot of Billy Bob's foot stomping on John's foot, they did something like 24 takes.
Meaning he didn't want to get his foot stomped on? Is that what? Why
or
they
he
would
just
use,
has ugly feet?
Why would they use a foot double?
Who knows? Maybe it's just not worth the big money actor to be on set for as long as it takes to shoot a scene like that. Yeah. If his face isn't in it, so they might as well let that dude go back to the trailer and rest.
24 takes. how about if the stepper steps it up?
I know. Nothing looks more boring to me than making films, yeah. By the way. All right. 1-800-520-1067. I promised a hand double. Let's get to Wes. Wes is on line one. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, man. What's going on?
Hey guys, morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
So you're a hand double. Are you in some kind of a league? Are you in some kind of a group?
There is no league of extraordinary hand doubles.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
No, this was a one time thing when I was 11.
When you were 11?
Okay. Before I get to the story, I should say the scene was eventually cut for the movie. It was kicking and screaming with Will Ferrell.
Oh, when Will Ferrell was a soccer coach?
Yeah, you remember the scene where they go to the house, he goes to Robert Duvall's house, and they have, like, the tetherball match and everything?
Yes.
Okay, well, that scene was supposed to open with Will Ferrell's stepbrother, who was played by Josh Hutcherson. He was playing the piano, playing this really, you know, elaborate piece, just trying to show off for his stepbrother. But anyways, he couldn't play the piano, and they needed a kid who could, so I auditioned for the part, I got it. And I spent, you know, a few hours on set, got to hang out with Will and Robert Duvall and just,
wow.
Yeah, they had me play a piece. I met with the head of music at Universal. He taught me how to play the blues pretty much when I was in fifth grade.
No kidding.
I played this classical piece which then transitioned into a little, you know, improvised blues thing.
And then they said, thanks for your time, we're not going to use it.
Yeah, I still got paid though.
That is so neat. So you were playing the piano, and you're how old at this point? You're 11.
I was 11 back then.
11 years old. Okay, and so you've got a camera basically right on just your hands, right? So it didn't matter what you were wearing. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I still had to wear the same costume that Josh Hutcherson was wearing for the scene, just in case they had a different angle. I mean, we looked pretty much the same.
But you have pretty nice hands, I'm guessing.
Actually, since then, they've kind of gone downhill.
Oh, that's too bad. It's too bad when hot hands get old.
Your best years are behind you, Wes.
Yeah, I peaked when I was in fifth grade. That's kind of depressing.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for the call. Thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Stacy. Stacy was the hair body double. Stacy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How did this happen?
Hi. Thanks, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
How are
you
doing? First of all, why did they need a hair double?
You know, I don't know. I used to be a part of this casting agency called Central Casting, and they just called me up one time, and they're like, hey, do you still have your long brown hair? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, all right, well, come to Warner Brothers, and you're going to be Linda Cardinelli's body double. So basically, I was just trying to pretend like I knew medical things, and they shot me from behind with my hair, actually, I'd say.
That's so weird. Like,
yeah.
And this was for the TV show ER, right?
Yes. Yeah, correct. But, yeah, I got to meet John Stamos out of it. So.
Well, there you go. That's not half bad.
So answer Kevin's question. Why could why could Linda Cardellini not do that scene?
I guess she just didn't want to show up for, you know, a little small part like that where she was just, you know, talking
no
to someone
lines,
in the background.
Really.
So,
oh,
yeah,
I
yeah,
see.
No lines.
Yeah, it just could be it's not a big enough part for them to do, so they just need to bring in somebody who looks sort of like her.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So, I was willing to do it.
Nice.
So.
A hair double.
Did you ever do any more acting after that?
Did your hair ever do any more acting, is what he means?
No, I mean, it's still really long and still brown, so maybe I'll have to...
There you go. If anybody's looking for some long brown hair, we've got a listener.
Yeah. That's right. Thank you, Stacy. Appreciate that. We have time for one more. Let's try Aaron. It's funny. We were talking about a Will Ferrell movie earlier. I guess this isn't a Will Ferrell movie, is it?
No.
This is a Vince Vaughn movie.
Vince Vaughn, completely. Yeah.
But I thought Will Ferrell was in that movie. No, but we're talking about Wedding Crashers. Aaron, we see you sort of in that movie. Tell me the story.
I was Vince Vaughn's stand-in for Dodgeball and Wedding Crashers, and out of all the funny stories I could tell you, one of them was during Wedding Crashers, and the ADs pull me and another girl aside, tell me that we're shooting the scene in the movie where they're all at the dinner table, and Isla Fisher's character is kind of trying to pleasure him under the table. So they asked for a pay bump that day if I wouldn't mind being the thighs for the stroking. So... that they gave me a stuffed sock and
what? Okay, wait a second here. Wait, hold on.
Slow down. We have
Aaron,
questions.
Slow down. You're telling me they offered you a pay bump to have your thighs stroked on their table? They should have made that day free for you. They should have had to pay you for that.
Oh, let me tell you this: the entire set was busting up, like the grips and all the electric guys. They thought it was freaking hilarious.
So it was a different girl.
This poor girl is like, okay, so soak harder. Okay, shorter. You know, it was
they were giving her all kinds of direction. Have you never done this?
So, in other words, when we watch the movie, it looks like Isla Fisher is playing with Vince Vaughn under the table, and it's not either of them. It's you and this other chick who was being a hand double, right?
Yes, exactly. And just to get back to what you were saying before, you know, A-list actors, they don't have the time to do any of that stuff. So, whether it's they have, you know, ugly hands or feet, Vince has very meaty, hairy hands. I hate to throw him under the bus. But, you know, with all those millions, I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
Or just plain laziness. You know, they don't want to be sitting there grabbing a phone, you know, for the cutaway shot.
No,
you know,
but if I'm having a thing where a woman is under the table, I'm showing up for that. That scene I'm not giving away.
All right, was it the tiniest bit arousing, or was it just so many people around and so much pressure that you really couldn't even enjoy it?
It wasn't actually on my, you know, what.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And B, no, when there's 80 people laughing at
liar.
You, staring, like, it's not like
you're even a liar. You're a liar. You're lying. You're a lying liar who lies.
That's my story I'm sticking to.
I know you are. You must be married.
Nope, I'm single.
Great story, though.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. One quick thing is, so there was the scene at the beginning where there'd be all the different girls, you know, that they would hook up with at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
So that was basically me and Owen Wilson's character would have to play the body or stand-ins of the girls. So they just found one girl to play all 8 or 10 of the girls. So me and Owen Wilson standing, we had to take turns, like, laying on top of them, like, they were fooling around.
That's the best movie shoot ever for you.
My God.
Girl had really big boobs, which was awesome, but after a while, she pulled me aside and said, you know what, I like you laying on top of me more because the other guy's sweaty.
Oh! Hey, all right.
That was your job.
And then you got her number, and then that night?
No, but there were some other girls around. I didn't do too bad on that movie.
All right. That's fantastic. You're the best person ever, Aaron. Thank you for the call. Want to see Linkin Park, one of the biggest bands in the world, in a tiny, intimate venue? You can. Our friend Mike Shinoda from the band joins us after the top of the hour to tell you how. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening, Ralph?
Odds are out on how Charlie Sheen's going to be written off 2.5 Men.
Oh, good guess.
The website PaddyPower.com, an Irish bookmaking website, has released their odds that you can actually bet on to see which way Charlie will be dumped from the cast in the first episode airing September the 19th.
I think, considering the fighting that went on between them, it's not going to be a kind
departure. Well, rumor has he was going to be killed off. He was going to be killed off, but there's no confirmation of that. So this is some of the suggestions they put out.
All right.
The odds on favorite is Charlie driving his car off a cliff. That's what we've heard so far. That was been the rumor. Okay, that was that's going off at 11 to 10.
And there have
cars
been
drives his car off a cliff.
Two of his cars that have driven off a cliff, right?
Yes. So once again, life imitates art.
Yeah.
He leaves via airport with Rose, his girlfriend Rose. That's a 5 to 4.
Boring.
Gets shot in a crime of passion. That's 3 to 1.
Sweet.
Accidental poisoning. 6 to 1.
Yeah.
Accidental poisoning? Doesn't someone have to poison you on purpose?
I don't know.
Unless you actually pick up a bottle of bleach thinking it's vodka. I guess that would be accidental poisoning. Plane crash, 12 to 1. Gets hit by lightning, 14 to 1. Surfing accident, 20 to 1. A jail sentence, 25 to 1. See, that's where I'd put my money. Have him go away for life for something. That'd be awesome. Joins a monastery or a witness protection program, 50 to 1.
That's funny.
Monastery's funny.
Gets lost at sea. 66 to 1.
Lost at sea.
A piano falls on him. 200 to 1. Elopes with Berta, their enormous housekeeper.
Right.
250 to 1. That's the long shot.
I'll take that one because then I can make a lot of money.
If you want to if you want to make a big payday, that's the one you go with. So, have to wait and see.
All right.
Ralph, how do they introduce Ashton Kutcher? Does he come... Like, he's a family member of Charlie's character, or what?
From what I understand, Charlie dies,
uh-huh.
and his beautiful beach home goes into probate, right? And then they sell it off, and Ashton Kutcher is the new owner.
Oh, I see. But
and some relationship develops between him and John Cryer, where he cries the blues, says, I got no place to live or something, and maybe Ashton lets him live there for a while or something, but...
Just like real life, then. You buy a house, and whoever's living in it continues to live with you,
That's correct.
Chaos.
That's
ensues.
How it always works. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you like those super realistic sitcoms where everything happens just like it does in real life. I didn't realize that. That's what you enjoy. I don't watch a lot of television.
It's over.
It is over.
It is over. Rumors are swirling that Lindsay Lohan took a flying leap off the wagon on Saturday night.
She didn't just fall off?
No.
Took a flying leap?
Yeah, she took a running start.
Oh, no.
She packed a parachute, from what I understand. She hit the town to celebrate her friend's birthday this weekend, and according to sources, started out drinking cranberry juice.
Sure.
That's how it always starts, with the best of intentions. But ended the night by sucking down her fair share of booze.
You're an uneducated alcoholic.
You start with a mixer. I mean, really, do you start with a mixer that you always mix with vodka?
I start with Diet Ginger Ale. That's what I start with. Yeah. That's always keeps me on the straight and narrow.
It's so tasty.
It's so delicious.
Right. It is good.
But hard to come by, I found.
It's hard to find.
Where did she got into an argument when Oscar Luth, who apparently she was with, he's a survivor of an alum of the Survivor TV show. Now she's like hanging out with reality show stars, really?
Yeah.
He was flirting with another girl. She yelled at him, and then by 2 a.m. was clinging to chairs and curtains to support herself, onlookers said.
That is amazing.
Yeah. For what it's worth, Lindsay told TMZ.com the story simply isn't true.
Well, if she says it's not true,
then who are we to think otherwise?
Is she off probation now? Or?
She can drink all she wants. She just can't drink and drive.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She's still on probation for criminal offenses, but drinking isn't a criminal offense. Okay. And but she no longer has to get tested or anything.
I've never understood why they just don't get a car. You have enough money.
Well, she does now.
Oh, okay.
They say she was loaded into a Cadillac Escalade that was being driven by a friend or a manager or somebody, but she was poured into an Escalade, and then they left at the end of the evening, but she was not behind the wheel.
You're drunk.
Again, for the record, Lindsay says that story is simply not true.
That is amazing.
Make up your...
Any lawyers are listening.
Make up your own minds.
It's new releases. I don't have any time. I'll tell you what the new releases are with DVDs and CDs next hour. How about that? Today's celebrity...
I can't wait. I need to know now.
Me does need to know now.
I buy every CD that's ever pressed.
He's going to drive to every store in his area.
So you can deal the new Joss Stone CD.
He'll drive to five different stores to get it for $8.99 instead of $9.99.
Spending $47 in gas.
Yes, that'll happen.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Mick Jagger of The Rolling Stones is 68 years old today. Helen Mirren turns 66. Roger Taylor of Queen is 62. Kevin Spacey is 52 years old. Sandra Bullock turns 47. Speaking of Kevin Spacey, has anyone seen The Horrible Bosses yet?
Yes, no, but I wanted to.
You have seen it? How funny is Kevin Spacey?
He's awesome.
Is he great? He looks awesome in that trailer. He's always so good. Sandra Bullock's 47. Jeremy Piven turns 46. I got to say, I enjoyed Entourage.
I'm seeing it on tape.
I enjoyed this past Entourage. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Is he having trouble with Sloan this year? Is that happening? Is that the new plot development?
Why would it be like that, man?
I'm just asking.
Don't you just back
off? Ian Sloan are completely off, by the way. The engagement's over. They're done.
So they are having trouble. Okay.
Oh, man. Wow, you're just a hater, man. You just make everything fun, not fun.
Yeah.
Is drama having trouble with his career?
No. Drama's career is going great, I'll have you know.
Oh, really?
He's
really
not only starring on a white-hot animated comedy, but he's also working on a TV movie.
Bean, how would you describe yourself?
I am not a winner.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
Vince trying to get a new movie off the ground? He's not sure if it'll happen?
Vince is dealing with his sobriety right now. That's his first and foremost.
Okay, apparently, I've missed a lot.
Yeah, apparently you have. Kate Beckinsale's 38 years old today. And Taylor Momsen, the little minx of an actress and singer for her band, The Pretty Reckless. She is 18 years old today. She just turned 18.
Wow.
Yeah, she's only been partying for about 12 years now. And finally, in just three short years, she can legally drink. I'm glad to see that's all working out for her.
3 years from now.
3 years from now, she'll be able to drink legally.
That is good news.
So I guess she'll celebrate tonight at her 18th birthday with some diet ginger ale.
That's correct.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
That band needs some new music, huh? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Kevin, I believe that band is Linkin Park. Oh. And I believe Mike Shinoda from the band joins us here in the studio now on the Kevin.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I think they have fulfilled their your wish for new music recently. Yeah, I think we're good. We're good for now.
I was just kidding.
Mike, how you been, man? What's going on? We haven't seen you since San Francisco, I think.
Yeah, we're good. We did a we went on a tour in Europe since then, and then just got back a week and a half ago, I think it was. About 2 weeks ago.
How different is Mike's life from ours? We saw him in San Francisco like a month ago. What have we been doing since then? The exact same thing we did then, the exact same thing we're doing now. What have you been doing?
Every day.
Well, you know, I went to like 10 countries.
Well, I'm doing the same thing. I mean, you guys are staying in one spot doing the same thing over and over. I'm moving from city to city doing the same thing. Why do you guys have what appears to be like a sleeping mattress with like...
That's my office.
Yeah, this is like... It looks like in here... it looks like there's a homeless person like camped out in the corner. Yeah.
There is. That's Kevin. He hasn't broken it to us that he's been kicked out of his house, so he's sleeping here at night now.
I sit in the corner and I make a giant mess. Most people are nice enough not to bring it up.
There's like paperwork strewn all over the floor. Half-eaten Subway sandwich.
Okay, take it easy. I didn't have time to finish it. What's wrong with you? Take it easy.
It's amazing.
Nobody has ever pointed this out before.
And in such detail.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Mike, we have many things to discuss, including the secret show for Japan. But I have to ask, just because you mentioned you've been to all these countries, you love playing on stage. That's that's the best part about being in Lincoln Park, I imagine, is doing those shows and seeing
those
fans.
Is it, or is it recording?
No, I like both, actually. Those are my two favorite
things.
Is there
one
of it goes back and forth, you know, depending on the show and depending on what we're working on in the studio. And, yeah, these shows were great. They were awesome.
But my question is, the other 20, 1.5 hours a day or whatever it is that you're not on stage or actively making music, what's that like when you're in Europe for 3 weeks or whatever? I mean, is it miserable? Is it just hotel to hotel, car to car, interview to interview? Do you just dread that until you get on stage, or are you able to manage it pretty
well? No, especially once you've been, if you have the same cities that you keep going back to, it tends to be, you find stuff that you like. Like, you know, we played a lot in New York, for example. We played a lot in, we played a bunch of times in Tokyo. We played a bunch of times in London. And I find that I know, like, my favorite spots. I can go to the same restaurants. And I think for us, like, there's so much that is not routine that when you can create a little bit of routine in the midst of it, it helps keep you
sane. Do you ever play bad shows?
Of course. Yeah, sure. Because
it seems like bands at your level, like, that it's always consistently...
It's relative. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know.
You ever get off stage and go, that sucked, I'm so angry?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah,
when was the last time?
Remember, you saw us in San Francisco.
Yes.
I think for us, there was a show that week. It may have been that one.
Would you like to apologize to San Francisco?
No, because the thing is, for us, like, and I know... you can see there was one episode on Twitter where Chester, like, basically, like, apologized for a show. And then he read his timeline of, like, stuff people had been saying. And people were saying to him, that was the best show. We had so much fun, blah, blah, blah. But he did that. He read that stuff after he had already said, I didn't like it. And so for us, it's kind of like sometimes you don't know. I mean,
is it stuff that none of us would recognize as little stuff?
Sometimes. I mean, like, we've gone into... songs before where he can't hear himself. Like, we have monitors in our ears that help us, like, basically
you can hear,
like,
the mix.
Hear the mix, hear the music, be able to find our pitch and everything.
He takes his out all the time, though.
He does, because he can hear the speakers. But long story short, we've gone into songs where he didn't hear the pitch correctly,
right,
and he jumped into the song off key and then had a hard time, like, you
have
know,
you ever stopped and then gone, hey, let's start that again?
I did that. I've done that at least once.
Really?
Yeah. It's not his fault. It's like, you know, room to room, it can be really,
of course,
tricky sometimes.
Interesting. Speaking of Japan.
Yes.
You guys have told us before, you're crazy popular in Japan for some reason. Not that you're not popular everywhere, but in Japan in particular, they just go ballistic for you guys, right?
I think I was telling you one time about a story where I made the mistake of walking around the venue outside of one of our venues. We were playing two nights at the Budokan, which is like the one of the most famous venues for sumo wrestling.
Hey, Bean, you know he's part Japanese, right?
Well, no, I get that.
Okay.
I'm not saying there's not a reason for it.
I just wanted to check before we moved on.
All right,
go ahead.
I think we were there. We didn't know what we were in for. I was walking around outside the venue, just like sightseeing and stuff. And I basically got mobbed by the people that were there to see our show.
Right.
And luckily, some of our techs were nearby. I mean, I literally walked through, and it was, you know, I'm just walking through, and then like one or two people look, and then like 10 or 20
people
look.
And then somebody shouts, hey, it's Mike Shinoda!
In Japanese, that is exactly what happened. I heard like 100 feet away, I hear, and then these kids start running, and as soon as a couple of them, like, did it, then everybody did it, and it was actually dangerous. I mean, we were, you know, I was alone. We were, like, scared to death.
Like, pulling your arm off and stuff.
And luckily,
like, hey, people.
Luckily, a couple of our techs just happened to be walking from the bus into the venue, and they kind of jumped in and pulled us out of there.
So when you go to Japan, do you play, you know, five shows or something like that, just to kind of try to meet the demand of how many people want to see you?
We play... Let's see. This time, I think we're playing six. I think we're playing two in Tokyo, two in Osaka, and then there's two more. But it's, you know, it's generally about that.
Is it better, the same reception as most places?
It's just different. The way they react to concerts, the first time any band goes over there, I don't know about other genres of music, but for rock bands, if you when before we went, all of the like roadies that had been over there many times said to us, okay, one thing is going to happen. And you're not going to expect it because there's nothing, no other place that does this, uh-huh. but it may make you a little nervous. In between every song, as soon as the song is over, the applause are going to be really loud for a moment and then it's going to go completely silent. Crickets.
So they clap. It's crazy, and then stop crazy.
You know, you don't pay attention to it. That everywhere else, like in between songs, you hear people chatting, people on the phone, little whistles and screams and whatever, like throughout any gap in between songs.
Right.
People just kind of make noise and whatever. Now imagine you've got 15,000 people together, and as soon as the song is over, they applaud the song, and then that.
Why do they stop like that?
Because
do they not
they
want to be rude? Do they
exactly.
want to hear the beginning of the next song?
They want to hear what you have to say.
Really?
Yeah, it's
nice.
Completely quiet.
Everyone,
so that's,
everyone
that's
else,
where
they
you
want to
record your live album then.
Everywhere else, they don't care what you want to say.
I think a live album recorded there might be really weird for people. It'd just be like in between every
all
song.
Right, there's a secret show.
Secret show.
You can see.
It's
Lincoln
not a
Park.
Secret show. It's at a secret. We call it a
okay,
secret show, but
show
it's
yeah.
a secret location because it's a really. It's going to be a very small, intimate venue where we can see every face in the house, and it'll be
all right. If you'd like to yeah. go, we're going to give you all the details next. But if you can't stick around, go to secretshowforjapan.com.
Okay.
Yes.
So even though it's not a secret show, that's the website.
That's the website. It's kind of a secret show.
Secret show for Japan.
Nice name, Mike.
.com. And we'll be right back and we'll explain everything to you.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network joins us in minutes to talk about the conclusion of the lockout, which is good news. Right now, Mike Shinoda in studio from the band you just heard right there called Linkin Park. Music for Relief, by the way. When did you start the Music for Relief to start raising money for charity? How many years ago and for what cause, Mike?
I think it was 2005, and we started after the, we basically...
Was it Katrina?
It was the tsunami in South Asia, so it's kind of weird that it's come full circle. But
yeah.
it's
yeah.
the we went to work after Katrina, California wildfires. We've been doing stuff all over the world, actually. A big effort in Haiti and now a big effort in Japan.
Let me tell you 1 second about when they went to New Orleans with my wife's charity.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys... You would think that they would sit in their limos and go, yeah, yeah, somebody carry that box over.
Mike's, I'm glad that's what people would think,
Mike's
that's how little people think of you, Mike.
God, no, man. Mike's carrying stuff, and Chester's pushing vans out of mud, and I mean,
dude, Chester went.
He really did a lion's share of the work, and
yeah,
it was impressive.
He worked hard. He worked really hard.
Well, the impressive thing to me about your charity is it is not something that was put up and then has languished. I mean, you have made it an ongoing concern, and it is obviously something that's very important to every member of Linkin Park. And now Japan is in the news. March 11th was the date. I know it seems like such old news for us because we've been wrapped up in things that have happened in our own country since then. Mm. But March 11th, they had a 9.0 tsunami, and they're nowhere near fighting back from that yet. Right, Mike? I mean, it's still pretty desperate over there.
Yeah, it was off the basically... I think one of the areas heaviest hit was Sendai, which is kind of like, if you can imagine, kind of like northern Japan. And that's where you hear about all of the, the radiation concerns. And if you look online and see the pictures of the coastline where the tsunami hit, I mean, it's flattened. You know, it's like it actually reminded me of the images you saw from Katrina, except I feel like, I don't know how they compare in size, but to my eye, it looks more barren, you know?
Just like it really flattened everything to the ground.
It just flattened everything.
Towns just disappeared. Everything in the town was gone.
There was an incredible video just by a random, random dude who had his little cell phone out or little camera, and he was videoing the street right before the water started coming down. Through the town,
right?
And he, so when he starts the video, there's nothing on the street, and then a trickle of water comes down, and then like a minute later, that's washing trash down the street, and he starts climbing up what appears to be like a staircase up a hill so he can get out of the way. So then you've got trash, then you've got bigger trash, then you've got things like mailboxes and like little storage units, then you've got bigger things. I forget what the intermediate step was, but like basically it ends up being, then you start seeing cars coming down the street.
Yeah.
By the end of it, you are seeing houses floating down the street, and not like one, like five. It's crazy to watch these things happen, and that's what went on over there. So the cleanup and the aftermath of something like that is, you know, I can't even begin to imagine.
Is many years.
Yeah. It's going to be years.
And the problem is that the news cycle here, like Bean said, changes so quickly. We were very aware of it when it first happened. And then a week later, we move on.
I mean, so much stuff goes on in the news. And that's, you know, I mean, you can't fault the news because they're running a business, too. They want the fresh news and the exciting stuff has got to, you know, that kind of keeps the wheels turning over there. But we do want to try and get people's attention back on Japan. Our charity, we're working with a group called Save the Children.
Tell us how it works.
Save the Children, basically, in a nutshell, their focuses are things like, psychiatric help for the kids who've been affected by the tragedy. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they've probably lost a home, or they've seen something really that they can't cope with yet.
I don't know that adults could cope with that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And they're in a more fragile state. And some, you know, maybe if they're older, maybe hormones are going. I mean, they're really beat up by this thing. And in addition to that, they need, the younger kids, they need places to play. They need places to get together and talk about the stuff, or get together and get their minds off of the stuff. And so that's what Save the Children does. Our charity, Music for Relief, part of our kind of mission statement is to go to work in the aftermath of natural disasters, to do so in an environmentally conscious way. And
explain to people, I apologize for rushing you, but explain to people how they can attend this concert and how it helps and how to do it.
So basically, if you just go to Secret Show for Japan, you can find ways to set up your basically a donation page to reach out to your friends, your family, and anybody else who might donate money. It's basically a helper for your fundraising. 100% of the proceeds that you collect that go to Music for Relief, they pass directly through us. We don't take any, there's no like overhead, there's no charges, whatever. It just goes straight through to Japan. There are certain like basically goals. Like if you raise 500, you get two tickets to this show that we're playing here in LA. Again, like I said, it's a really small venue. I can't remember the last time we played a venue so small. And then there are special prizes for people who raise exceptional amounts of money. The person who raises the most, I think they get assigned. They get a signed instrument, and they meet the band. And
Mike's not sure.
We're giving away instruments to people. We're taking pictures and meeting and signing stuff with people.
We have a
that's right. That's the other thing that they get. They get to watch the show from the stage, which is thing.
Nice.
The one thing that they get that nobody else gets.
How many tickets are still available for this venue for people to still raise $500 and go, Mike?
I'm not allowed to say how big the venue is, so I think we're about halfway there.
Oh, okay. So there's still opportunities for Linkin Park fans who want to help Japan to raise $500, as your friend Janessa did, who joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Janessa apparently already has raised her money and is already coming to the show. Hi, Janessa.
Hello. How are you?
Good. You're on with Mike Shinoda. Do you know Mike?
No, I don't. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hi. Well, we don't know each other personally. Are you? I heard that you're a Linkin Park fan, though.
I am. I love you guys very much.
Are you? Where are you? Where are you from?
I'm from Torrance, California.
Okay, cool.
All right,
Torrance. So, now we have to ask, because we were all discussing this before we got you on the phone. Janessa, that's a made up name, right?
It's a made up porn name.
No.
Is that your given name? Is Janessa?
Janessa Jones.
We're just asking.
I would see any movie you were in, Janessa.
Wait, so Janessa Jones is your real name,
not
a stage name.
All right.
Absolutely.
How did you? First of all, talk me through the process. You heard about this Secret Show for Japan. You're a Linkin Park fan. You just thought to yourself, "Oh my God, I need to do that. I need to figure out a way to get in to see that show." Right?
Yeah. And I got a bunch of emails from people saying, "I don't know how to raise $500." Let's ask Janessa how she did it. Was it porn?
No, it was not porn, but no, thank you.
I'm just kidding. How did you raise the money?
There's multiple ways. You can go through Facebook. When you go on the website, there's a place where it says ask for donations, and you can make a comment on Facebook. You can send direct emails to people, and then I also sent personal emails as well.
So you just hit up all of your friends and acquaintances for money and said, look, I'm doing this. It's for a really good cause. Would you help me out and donate a few bucks?
Yes. And there's
wow, how annoying.
No, but you know what? A side thing is the venue or the day is also my birthday.
Oh, look at that.
So yeah.
Everything's working perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two great causes.
All know, we forgot to mention, I just realized that the band's opening for us, it's just us and one other band. That band is called Bees. It's the letter B, apostrophe Z. And maybe a lot of Americans haven't heard of them so much, but they're the best-selling rock band in the history of Japan.
No kidding.
They're a huge... They play... I mean, we play like a big venue in Tokyo. They play the Enormo Dome... like this, like three times bigger,
really?
And they play it like five nights in a row. Like they are massive out there, and they're coming, and they're going to play this tiny little show. So, you
that's
know,
cool
for the yeah for the.
Do they sing in English, Mike?
They have some. I think it's mixed because some of the song titles are in English and some are not. And
I saw on your site. I just read the bio on your site. It said that they had 45 consecutive singles debut at number one in Japan.
Crazy, right?
That's 45.
Crazy.
So Linkin Park and a band even bigger than Linkin Park in Japan, which is where all the money is being raised to help. You can go to secretshowforjapan.com. Janessa, I'm glad we got to meet you. I can't wait for your first movie, and we'll see you at the show, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Janessa.
Hey, one last question because we got to go. If people can't raise the $500 but want to donate some, where do they go? Do they still go to?
I would recommend going to that site.
That same site.
Hopefully getting in touch. I mean, if you don't think you're going to raise that much money or whatever, you can still start your own page and just raise money.
Okay.
That's great. And I'm sure, you know, Music for Relief definitely encourages that. If you want to help out other people who are already raising funds, that's also helpful because maybe somebody already is out there with, they've raised $400 and if they just could get a push over the edge, they get two tickets to the show. Maybe you could strike up a deal with them and they'll take you.
Yeah, I'll give you $100, but you've got to take me.
All
right. The website again is secretshowforjapan.com. That's where you go to find out all the information. Mike Shinoda has been our guest from Linkin Park. Mike, you're always the best.
Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for coming
me.
In. We appreciate it.
Who's ready for some football?
Well, I think the answer is only everyone. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network was on with us in studio a couple of weeks ago, promised to come on back when the lockout was over. Rich Eisen, the lockout is over?
And I'm back.
And he's back.
You're back. Well, you weren't surprised. I know you thought it was heading in this direction, but was there anything about the way this thing ended that did catch you off guard, Rich?
Well, God, last Thursday, when the owners announced they had approved the deal and the players' reaction was, what deal? I mean,
It seemed like a communication hiccup.
Last Thursday was easily the most bizarre day I've ever experienced in my career, where, again, very, very, very few moments I've ever seen in any deal, in any business, where one side announces we've got a deal and hailing what it means for all of the fans of whatever whatever sport or medium is hailing the deal's completion, and the other side's like, we have to see this before we agree.
That's bizarre. So they made the announcement and said, everything's back, going to be back to normal. This is the best news ever. And the players were like, hey, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it was really absolutely bizarre. You know, and in that vein, I'd like to announce that I have unanimously selected myself to be the new Sultan of Brunei.
Fantastic.
Well, why not? If you don't need any corroboration, why not?
Congratulations.
Right, and then the people in Brunei might say, wait a minute, who is this Rich Eisen guy?
Doesn't matter, you announced it.
And now it's an ugly mess.
Can we have high-ranking positions?
But yeah, you're in.
Okay,
whatever
good.
It is,
I
don't even know what it is, but you're in. You're
so, Rich, let me ask you this question from a strategy standpoint. The lockout was about 4.5 months, and you get the sense that the pressure mounted with every day that passed because the longer you go, the more you are in danger of losing games. And, of course, that's what nobody wanted. And it's just like the debt ceiling argument that's going on. They all know they have the deadline of August 2nd, so everybody is feverishly worried. They could have done this deal 4 months ago, right?
Well, you know, I asked that question of all my experts and legal experts on NFL Network yesterday as to why, now that we see this deal, now that we see exactly what it is and know that it existed in the ether, why could they have not come up with this in March? And I guess the general answer is essentially what you just said, is that until there was a true I guess, feeling of urgency over we could miss a game, then it just really was not going to get done. And then what complicated matters was the lawsuit that the players filed, and making this even crazier, because it involved more lawyers, it involved federal judges, it involved a settlement of a lawsuit, and not just getting together with a collective bargaining agreement. That's what made it sort of go even deeper into the summer. But so, thankfully, all this stuff is all now just minutia for whatever book somebody wants to write on it, and fans won't have missed a game. I don't know if your radio show is heard in Canton, Ohio. If it is, then
it is.
There you go. Then
no, it isn't.
There.
I'm just kidding.
There you go.
That game blows.
I'm sure
anyway.
It's downloaded. I'm sure it's downloaded.
That game blows anyway. Let's be honest.
Well, listen, it is a great way to finish a celebration. And the people who put the weekend on in Canton, Ohio are really hardcore fans, and they really care about this. And it's their one thing that they look forward to for the sporting sense all year long.
Right. So the bottom line is
that's basically the only casualty, that and the figurative lost sleep that fans had over the idea that this season may not happen.
But as of now, all owners and the Players Association, everybody has agreed to it.
Yes. Oh. Well, to be honest, there are still some outstanding issues that could only be settled once the union reforms, because they're issues that could only be collectively bargained. They cannot just be part of a settlement of a lawsuit. So it's a real that was exactly what the issue was pretty much over the weekend from Thursday all the way to Monday. You know, the CBA had been agreed to. The only way I could describe it, it's like a plane in a holding pattern over LAX, and they were arguing over how to land the plane.
Right.
And
the fans finally were saying, just land the effing plane.
Exactly. So a part of the reason, part of the craziness that you're going to see unfold with the free agency is on Friday at 3 o'clock, when free agents can sign, if those issues that have not, if the union is not yet reformed, and if those issues have not yet been collectively bargained, then whoever signs with their new team will be able to sit in the film room and study, but cannot put on a helmet, cannot get on the field until the CBA is done, all T's crossed and all I's dotted. So you're going to still hear some lockout talk over the next few days and maybe even a week, but it doesn't mean that football is not going to come this far.
Got it. So in our remaining moments with our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network, which obviously is the authority on the NFL, how crazy is it going to be for the club football executives and for the head coaches to try to get all of the work done that they need to get done before preseason starts with these guys?
It is going to be nuts because, again, starting today, trades can happen. Rookies and undrafted rookies are going to have to be signed. Players are going to be coming in and getting physicals. There's definitely going to be a handful of players that we're going to read about who are hurt, who didn't know. I mean, there are going to be some guys who are like, you know, I've been feeling a little pain in my foot, and then, oh, it's a stress fracture that was revealed in an MRI that he could have had 3 months ago, you know?
Yeah.
So you're going to hear a lot of that stuff. Free agency begins Friday, so people are going to be able to sign anybody's free agents. Usually there's an exclusive window where teams can only sign, where no one else can sign a free agent except the team that the player was on.
Right.
That's the exclusive window. That's not going to happen. Every free agent is going to hit the market at the same time, and it's going to be totally nuts at the same, and at that time, coaches are going to try and cut their rosters and get on training camp and get rookies up to speed, get everybody going. And the first preseason game is August 11th. So time is wasting, but the bottom line is it's back. And it's
I remember when we had you in the studio a couple weeks ago, Kevin asked you, Rich, what are you going to do if there's no season? And you said, I refuse to accept the possibility that that might happen. And Rich, thank God you don't have to. Thank God you've got actual things to do now. We'll let you get to it. But thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Anytime.
Thank you, Rich. Rich Eisen, NFL Network.
Bethany Hamilton, the soul surfer herself, joins us after the top of the hour.
Surfer, that's not play that Murfer on the radio.
That's, no, that's
catch
not.
Catch a wave.
I'm not sure Murfer is. Oh, I love that band.
Yeah. We were just listening to Rome right there with the Dirty Heads. He released a tribute to Amy Winehouse yesterday and recorded his own version of Rehab as a tribute to her. How odd is that?
Was it an ironic tribute?
I don't think
so. Or is
it
a genuine tribute?
I think he was super sad that she had died, and he said, this is the way I know how to pay tribute to her, is to sing a little bit of her favorite song. So you can find that at kevinandbean.com if you want to find the video of Rome from Sublime singing Rehab. It's very odd.
Amy Winehouse was
addicted or
no,
sick.
No, not Jim Rome.
Not Jim Rome. That's different.
Rome. Never mind.
Just Rob, who's in line?
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now on the Kevin Beat Show. What's going on?
While we're talking about Amy Winehouse, today was her funeral. Memorial service was held for Amy this morning in London at Edgewarebury Cemetery. By all accounts, it was an event filled with tears, but also some laughter. Her dad, Mitch Winehouse, told some great stories from Amy's childhood about how headstrong she was as a family spokesperson. And clearly the family and friends recognized the stories and laughed along. Mitch, her father, ended the ceremony by saying, "Good night, my angel, sleep tight." Sad news.
That is sad. 27. And everyone saw it coming and no one could do anything about it.
Yeah. The guy who runs Passages, the Malibu rehab clinic, has never treated Amy as far as I know, but he says he thinks she wanted to join the 27 club of all those iconic rock stars.
Really?
And so that her death at the age of 27 wasn't a coincidence. That's a pretty big leap to take for a guy who's never met the woman and never treated the woman.
Yeah, who knows what she was thinking or if she was thinking. I'm glad we never made fun of her. That's what I'm happy about.
Well, we made fun of her.
A lot.
A lot, if that's what you mean. But well, I think we've showed remarkable restraint this week.
I do, too. It's almost time, though.
Come on.
I got a couple of listeners
Can we wait just a little bit longer?
I got a couple of listeners that said, look, tragedy plus time. All right, it's been some time. Let's get to it.
Not much time. Very little time.
We are past the funeral
was
already.
This morning. Yeah, it was this morning. All right. It was mere hours ago.
Look, we're having a discussion. That's all. The email's pouring in.
TMZ.com says on Friday night, a doctor gave Amy a routine checkup and said she was okay.
Wow, is it Dr. Drew?
How dare you?
She reportedly played the drums so loud that night that neighbors complained. Saturday morning around 10 a.m., she told her staff she was going to sleep. They found her at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and according to people who arrived on the scene, rigor mortis had already set in, so she had been dead for at least a few hours by the time they found her.
Wow.
So, it just gets uglier and uglier and uglier. Frederick von Anhalt. You know that name? Prince Frederick? He is the husband of Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. He says he is so wildly in love with his bride of 25 years that next month when they celebrate their anniversary, he is going to take a billboard out in the heart of Hollywood, a 44-wide billboard, and declare his love for his wife. If this guy spent half as much attention taking care of his wife as he did seeking publicity, Zsa Zsa would be up and walking around by now.
Yeah.
She
I thought
still,
she was like in a coma
she
or
is,
something.
Yeah,
she's still
is,
in a coma.
She is,
well, then what's the billboard for?
She is not coherent enough to appreciate the billboard. The billboard is for look at me. That's what the billboard is for.
Unbelievable.
He would ask the free world, he says, to celebrate their love on August the 14th.
How do we do that?
Just love, man. Just put a lot of love out there.
That is amazing.
That's what I always do.
Just love. All right. Is Julianne Hough getting tired of Ryan Seacrest?
I know I am.
Apparently their relationship is on the rocks, according to Star Magazine. They have photographs of her getting cozy with one of the co-stars of the movie Rock of Ages that she's in, a gentleman named Diego Boneta.
Is he interested in women?
Apparently he is heterosexual.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, then.
Ryan was apparently away at a friend's wedding in Italy while Julianne was seeing her co-star.
If you're going to go to a wedding in Italy, don't you take your significant other?
Not if your girlfriend's shooting a movie.
Oh, okay.
She's on the set of Rock of Ages and she's making a movie, and then it's kind of hard to get away for a period of time.
I gotcha.
Julianne reportedly told friends that Ryan's been so busy with work lately that and his ego keep him from being a very good boyfriend. Ooh, snap! No, you didn't! And while we're talking about love, Lindsay Lohan apparently has a new boyfriend. Star Magazine reports that she has hooked up with actor Spencer Falls. I vacationed there one winter. It was
Spencer
lovely.
Spencer Falls, very nice.
Yeah, it was up right near the Buffalo and Canada border. Up there,
I hear
you
good
go,
things
Spencer
about
Falls.
It.
It's entertaining time. He's the guy in the Virgin Mobile commercials for Sparrow or whatever they call that Hollywood couple, that fictional Hollywood couple they've created, Spencer and Sarah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's that dude, and apparently Lindsay's crazy about him. Probably crazy about the free phone she can get from him. That's what I'm thinking. It's Tuesday. It means new releases on DVD and CDs. But I don't have time to get
it. Don't you do that again. You did it last hour.
I don't have time.
You did it last hour.
Do it. Josh Stone's got a new CD called LP1. You can check that out. Vanessa Carlton has a new CD. Rabbits on the Run. Is that what that's called right there?
Well said.
Here I Am by Kelly Rowland. Kiss from the Past by Tiesto. On DVD, Source Code is new. If you didn't check out that Jake Gyllenhaal film, you can check that out. Michelle Monaghan's in it. I love her.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Vera Farmiga, you saw Source Code?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Burn Notice, The Fall of Sam Axe, the spinoff movie of the week that was starring Bruce Campbell. That's available now on
DVD. I love
that
show, Burn Notice.
It's very good.
That movie, not very good.
Oh, how dare you?
Was it?
It's all Bruce Campbell.
It wasn't very good.
It's him being all funny and crazy and saving people.
Not very good.
How dare you, sir?
Says man. Kevin, by the way.
I love Burn Notice, and he's great on it, but this was a side project with just him.
Jersey Shore Season 3 is available on DVD if you want to catch up on your Jersey Shore. And The Best of Cheaters Volume 3 is also available today. You can pick that up.
That might be worth seeing.
That is the most depressing thing you'll ever see.
I hope they have the episode where that dude gets stabbed. Today's celebrity birthdays: Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones, is 68 years old today. Helen Mirren turns 66. Roger Taylor of Queen is 62. Kevin Spacey turns 52. Sandra Bullock turns 47 years old today. Jeremy Piven celebrates his 46th birthday. Kate Beckinsale is 38 delicious years old. And Taylor Momsen, actress and singer of The Pretty Reckless, she is 18 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I shocked. What?
You shocked the showbiz beat.
I shocked the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Bethany Hamilton is on the phone. You may not recognize the name, but you certainly recognize this story. Listen up.
I lost my arm to a shark. A shark just came and bit it off. And I don't know, I lost about 60% of my blood. And it was just a miracle that I survived and made it to the hospital. And I'm still here today and just stoked to be alive and doing what I'm doing.
Bethany has all grown up now and is a beautiful young woman and an inspiration to all. Her movie, the movie that was made about that incident, is called Soul Surfer, and it comes out on DVD next week. Bethany, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. Thank you. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. I know you got a lot of X Games stuff to talk about, and I want to get to that, but I was on your blog earlier today, and I was surprised to see that you were back in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. What's going on with you?
Yeah, I was on a surf trip in Indonesia, and I ended up cutting my arm pretty bad. And, I just got a pretty deep wound and kind of damaged some nerves and then ended up getting surgery.
Sweet. Oh, no. I mean, look, nobody likes getting their arm cut. But when it happens to you, you just have to go, hey, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been way worse. I was just thankful that I was okay. And I had an amazing surf trip with Rip Curl and some of my best friends. So, yeah, I was okay with it.
I love that a shark tore your arm off. And then, like, what was it, 3 weeks later you were back in the water?
Yeah.
That's I don't know that I would have the guts to do that.
I know.
I would think that's God telling me, no, not for you.
What's funny, Bethany, is there were people who saw your story on the news, and they decided they're never going into the water again. I mean, your story is keeping other people out of the water, yet you can't wait to go back in. Now, do you surf professionally? Is that your job?
Yeah, I'm a pro surfer, and I spend a lot of my time traveling and competing and going on surf trips, and I love it. And I know it makes me really sad when I hear that people don't want to go in the water because of my story, and that's, like, the last thing I want to hear. Like, I don't know. The ocean is so special, and I just love surfing, and I think everyone should take the chance to try it.
Look, if you can go back in, every single person on this planet should go in.
Right.
I mean, come
right.
on.
Now, the X Games has not gotten to surfing yet. That is not part of the competition yet. Yet you are still going to be at the X Games kickoff bash, and that is going to be tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. at the LA Live event deck. Tell us what's going to be going on down there, Bethany.
Yeah, from around 4 to 6 p.m., Anna Sophia Robb, Kevin Sorbo, and Sean McNamara, who directed the film, and the first two were a couple of actors in the film, and I will be there just doing a little meet and greet and just hanging out, so it should be pretty fun. And Soul Surfer is coming out on August 2nd, DVD release, so that's pretty exciting for me. And
yeah, we're just trying to get the word out there, and it should be fun with all the action sports going on up there. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Of course. What did you, I mean, obviously you're still talking to these people, so you must not have hated it, but how strange was it to see somebody else playing your life on a movie screen, especially as young as you are?
Yeah, it's definitely a bit odd, but I really loved Anna Sophia and how she portrayed me. And it was funny because when we were casting, we were trying to find someone that would suit who I am, and my mom and I suggested her, and then I just am really proud of the way she performed, and yeah, we're really good friends.
Was it was there never a part of you that said, hey, I could play that role? Because I remember it well?
I was all there for the stunt surfing, but I'm not much of an actor, so
okay, all right.
I'll have to have someone else fill that role.
I got you.
Now, this event that you're doing at the LA Live tomorrow, is this the same event where the X Games athletes are going to be, where Tony Hawk and Matt Hoffman and Deegan and those guys are?
Yeah, I think so. So it should be a pretty fun night. And yeah, I'm excited to meet some of those guys and just hang out.
It's the X Games kickoff bash, which is tomorrow night at LA Live event deck. And you can see it live, by the way, if you want to, on Facebook.com/X Games.
Oh, how about that?
See it live.
You can buy tickets through Ticketmaster.com/X Games as well. And the proceeds for that are going to go to the V Foundation for Cancer Research and the Staples Center Foundation as well. So the movie is out next week on DVD. You can meet Bethany and co-stars and director of the film. That's going to be tomorrow night. And then I guess what's next for you is just keep on surfing, right? I mean, that's the plan.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to some surf trips this summer. And I kind of just started getting back in the water. So I'm just trying to heal my arm and... yeah, enjoy life every hour and every day.
She has a more positive look on outlook on life than you do, Bean.
By far.
I know.
I am feeling very, very bad about myself right now.
You work from home, you sit on your fat ass, you watch TV, and she's got a better attitude than you do.
I don't know how you do it, Bethany. I don't know where you get the strength from, but you are, as I said when I brought you on, you are an inspiration, and congratulations on all the successes that are coming your way, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It's not a very good air guitar. It really isn't. It's not a good air guitar, Ralph. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Vanessa Carlton has a new CD. Rabbits on the Run. Is that what that's called right there?
Well said.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Came out exactly as I wanted.
Is that how you
wanted
to say it?
That's how I wanted to deliver. You guys don't understand
how
the kids are talking these days.
I'm going to start doing that, claiming it.
You should.
I meant that.
Earn it. Own it. Love it.
You started doing it long ago, Kevin. All right, time for our final look at the showbiz beat. Ralph Garman joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I get to the biz that is show, nice arm.
Sorry.
I have passes to give away to a screening of the brand new hilarious comedy, The Change Up, but not just any screening. No.
Not just any screening.
This is the red carpet world premiere of The Change Up.
So the stars will be there.
Starring Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman. They will both be there, looking very natty in their Sunday finest, I'm sure. And lots of celebrities come out of these things, and there's parties and paparazzi and stuff. If you've never been to a Hollywood premiere, it really is quite an event. It's worth going to. If you'd like to go, I've got two pairs of passes right now. First two callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. Get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of The Change Up. It's Monday, August the 1st. It's in theaters everywhere. Friday, August the 5th. In case you don't win, you can still check it out. Amy Winehouse's funeral was this morning. Friends and family gathered at Edgeworthbury Cemetery in London to say goodbye to Amy. Her father reportedly told some great stories about her childhood. Spokesperson for the family said it was about how headstrong she was, and clearly the family and friends recognized the stories and laughed along. Mitch Winehouse, Amy's dad, reportedly ended the ceremony by saying, "Good night, my angel, sleep tight." Which, as a new father of a daughter, breaks my heart every time I read that. So.
Yeah.
Very hard to hear. Amongst mourners were Kelly Osbourne and producer Mark Ronson, who had worked with Amy, of course. Famously, they were both in attendance.
Kelly Osbourne, didn't she like try to help her get into a rehab?
Yeah, good friends.
They
and
were.
Kelly really did try to help her, but
that's
as we
bad.
Now know, she would not be helped. The service was held by a rabbi and conducted in English and Hebrew. I had no idea that Amy was Jewish.
Oh, me either.
There you go. The cause of death, as we mentioned yesterday,
has yet to be determined. Autopsy results were inconclusive, as they say, and the results of the toxicology report may take weeks, even months, to get back. So we'll never know the final story for a little while.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery how she died.
We already know the final story.
Yeah, we just don't know the particulars, I guess, but we figure we know what happened.
I'm not sure why, Ralph, but Dave apparently put up a poll on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page about, you know, gauging the sensitivity of our listeners in regards to the Amy Winehouse death. And apparently, overwhelmingly, they are disappointed that we're not doing the Hotline to Heaven. Now, I don't care whether we do it or not, but that does tell you something about our listeners, by the way, and how fast they move on.
They're a rough crowd.
They are. They're tough audience.
They're disappointed in us.
However, the people who would feel sympathy towards Amy or would think it would be out of line probably would not respond to that poll. They're not kind of people who fill out polls on the radio station websites, so maybe they're not interested. The people who want us to do the bit really want us to do it.
They really do. We're hearing from a lot of them. They're very disappointed that we let them down.
Instead of talking to Amy Winehouse in heaven, how about we talk to Kim Kardashian's psoriasis? Can we put that?
What? Yes, we can.
Can we create a new bit called the Wheel of Celebrity Ailments or something?
Ugh.
Yeah, on Sunday's episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kim was flipping out because it turns out she has the heartbreak of psoriasis. Red, flaky patches of skin on her legs turn out to be the skin disease psoriasis, and she is heartbroken about the diagnosis. You think Amy Winehouse
has talk right there, man.
You think Amy Winehouse is in a bad way? Kim Kardashian has psoriasis. It might as well just be the end of the world.
How do you treat? Is that just lotion?
You got to put some cream on it. The problem is it's chronic. You don't ever really cure it.
Oh, it never goes away.
No, you can manage it. You can treat it, but you really can't get rid of it.
Just like leg herpes.
Yes, it's like leg herpes.
Leg herpes. Dr. Ryder.
Jesus.
I can't believe she was able to get a man with that debilitating condition.
She is, as you can imagine,
happy.
Inconsolable. Mm. Now, here's the thing. Her mom has it, too. Her mom was diagnosed with it, and it does sometimes run in the family. It can be genetic. So Kim said, yeah, but she doesn't have red flaky dots all over her. She told this the doctor. People understand the pressure on me to look perfect. When I gain a pound, it's in the headlines. Imagine what the tabloids will do if they saw me with all these spots. Dermatologist told her that sometimes stress levels contribute to outbreaks. And she said, it would be probably better for you if you led an easier, slower paced life. That's just not possible, she said. She is, look at her. Look, she's trying to raise the debt ceiling. She's working on the peace process over in Afghanistan.
I don't think she has anything to do with
that. She is healing lepers on that island.
That's not happening.
Oh, no, wait a minute. She just has to pose for pictures and do a reality show.
Well,
see,
she does have to.
So full of stress.
She is followed down Rodeo Drive when she goes shopping for expensive things, Ralph.
I have pretty much an ass full of the Kardashians. Across the board. Every single one of them.
Not her the least.
Why? Because she's the hottest?
Yes.
Oh, I see how you roll. Jennifer Lopez looks like she will be back at the judges' table on American Idol. J-Lo's been saying she wasn't even sure she wanted to do another season, but the Wall Street Journal says she'll be signing the deal very, very soon. The only thing we don't know are the financial details. Her original deal was for $12 million for one season. No word on what they're paying Jennifer to get her back for an additional season.
Now, do they travel or do they just wait till everybody comes here?
No, they do. They do travel around the country. They do the open call auditions and they film the auditions there. And then they, of course, come back to Los Angeles.
But even when they travel, though, it's what, Ralph? It's 5 or 6 cities for a day?
Yeah, right.
A day, maybe 2 mm-hmm. in some of the cities. So, I mean, you're still talking about a week's work.
It's not grueling, if that's what you're asking.
But what I can't get my head around is during the season when they're back in Hollywood at the Kodak Theater or the Nokia or wherever they do most of the season, isn't it? I mean, it's almost literally an hour or two a day, right? For 2 days a week. That's it.
Yep.
That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
Sweet. Rumor has it that producers, being unsure whether she was returning or not, had asked another judge to join the panel, which would have made for a very crowded judges' table. So there was people wondering, would they be able to find space for Jennifer back at that table should they decide to bring her back on board?
There's only 3 seats there.
That's only 3 seats.
Mistaken.
So they were doing the logistics. They were looking into all the possibilities. And it turns out that regarding the space available at the judges' table,
yes,
that there's always room for J-Lo.
Magnificent! Hold your leg down, Apples!
Thank you so much.
He would make Barbara Walters cry.
Thank you.
In
genius.
I appreciate
it's
that.
Absolute perfection. It is behind. Absolute genius. Yeah, as clean as a whistle. Yes. As good as it gets.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate your support and your love.
And you look at the movies and say, oh, I wish I was perfect like those high-powered showbiz celebrities in those movies. Those beautiful movie stars who just get all the attention and get all the girls or the guys, depending on which way you swing. And just, oh, I wish I was them. Well, turns out you may need to get yourself some computer text to follow you around and make you look better. Ryan Gosling's in the new movie Crazy Stupid Love. And he's admitting that the sexy six-pack he shows when he takes off his shirt in that movie is completely computer-generated.
Now, why did he admit that?
No kidding! He said he had to stick ping-pong balls on his stomach while they were filming.
Kong's balls?
Yes! I said yes! Ping-pong balls, not King-Kong balls. The computer technicians would use that as focus points, and then they literally computer-generated his abs the way they did the characters in Avatar.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
So you don't even have to spend any time in the gym anymore to be a movie star. They just put it on you. They slap it on you with computers.
I saw that in the commercial. I was like, holy, now look at him. Who knew he looked like that?
Fake abs.
I can't believe anything we see in the movies anymore, Ralph. That's what you're telling me.
Abs.
But the blue things in Avatar, they're real, right?
No, they are also fake. Fake abs! How great is that?
So, I mean, could they take an actress, you know, of a modest bust size and just, you know, pump her up for the movie and just give her whatever they want? I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right?
We're talking about anything. You can change anything on anybody.
Make them taller, whatever you want to do.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wow. You may make it in acting after all, Ralph.
Yeah, I may. Hey, wait a minute. How dare you, sir? Today's celebrity birthdays. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones is 68 years old today. Helen Mirren is 66. A lot of angry emails this today. No bell for Helen Mirren.
Oh, F
saying.
You with that.
Kevin will not cotton to the idea of giving some 66-year-old woman a bell. That's not in his lexicon.
She's hot for 66. I don't have that category.
No, you do not, sir.
I have given her a bell in years past and have taken a beating. Not so much from Ralph, but certainly from Kevin. And this year, I'm really, really hearing from people that are upset that we're not giving her a bell.
Too bad.
She is lovely.
She's old.
And sexy, too, by the way.
Did you see Red? Did you see the movie Red?
Yes.
She was
sexy.
Very sexy.
I did
Red.
See that, yeah.
She was sexy.
Okay. She wasn't.
Kevin's choking. Someone give him the Heimlich.
She wasn't sexy, no.
I'd take Helen Mirren over Kim Kardashian with her psoriasis, I'll tell you that.
No, I don't take the psoriasis.
Are you crazy?
I just bring some salve or cream or unguent or whatever I needed to.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Roger Taylor of Queen is 62 years old today. Kevin Spacey's 52. Sandra Bullock's 47 years old. Jeremy Piven celebrates his 46th birthday. Kate Beckinsale is 38 years old. And actress, singer Taylor Momsen celebrates her 18th birthday today.
Is that a yes?
She's 18.
She's 18, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Was that a mug drop?
That was
there?
Muggs decided he needed to intervene in the show.
Yeah, we don't need your help, Muggs, so much as we don't need it.
That is amazing.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We've got a brand-new internet roundup for you. Contrary to what Ralph wants, we're going to do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
No!
Oh, that's
going to
be good.
Adam Carolla this week in Rage.
Yeah.
Nick Frost is going to be on the program talking about Attack the Block. We've got Tanner Faust. Heard that before. And should a girl crash the guy's bachelor party? Does that seem like that's
how
okay?
Are we even asking that question?
Because Kim Kardashian was in Vegas, and so was her, and
right?
She crashed the
doesn't
party.
Doesn't matter. The answer is no to
the
that question.
Is no.
So why are we even opening up the question?
Because some people think yes.
She needs to be put down.
In either direction, right? Guys should not be going to the bachelor party.
Correct.
Girls should not be going to the bachelor party.
My theory is you shouldn't even have them in the same city on the same time.
We said
absolutely.
That. Remember that
yes.
We said they were both having them in Vegas.
And
that's
I said, no,
bad.
Different weekends.
No.
This way you can't even accidentally run across each other.
She decided she needed to check it out.
No, her and her freaking scaly skin.
That's all right. So that's coming up tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean.